Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap of the slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Send up all that men, send us straight. Stand up because no chair can hold your weight.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Well, you know, I took this test, and it sort of turns out that I'm technically mentally retarded.
I can't hear you. You'll have to speak into the microphone.
Paul Perillo.
No, don't do that. Don't try to turn my words on me. You know, you can just go to hell. Like, yeah. Like that.
You can't hit me. I'm a girl.
And Andy. And Andy?
I don't care. I really don't give it. I'm all worked up right now, so we have to do it. Just do it, okay?
Andy Hart.
Let's corner the nerds and call them gay and make them show us their penises.
Won't that be gay of them?
Eric Scalavino.
That's the most idiotic thing I've ever heard. You're a moron. A pretentious moron. And you know what? Take that sweater off. Makes you look queer.
For now, anyway.
You think I care about you? Look, you're just smart enough, and you're just clever enough to occasionally amuse me.
PFW in Progress.
Tell me what it was like being one of them.
It was like basking in the warm glow of a higher intelligence as it envelops you and allows you to become part of its everlasting glory.
Part of the Patriots Football Network.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. Camp has officially started for the public. Today, we just came back from the first morning practice of many here at Gillette Stadium, and I have to say, despite the rain, which it wasn't too bad, it really never rained that hard.
Especially since we're in a tent.
Really good crowd. I'm just talking about the public. Good crowd, good turnout this morning. There'll be another practice this afternoon at 3:30. We got lots to talk about here until 2 o'clock on PFW in Progress, 508-543-7482. Is the phone number, web radio at patriots.com is the email address. And guys, like me, you just came from the practice field. And what's your opening thoughts, Eric and Andy? Paul, by the way, is doing all access. So
of course.
Well, we should very busy.
Do the nuts and bolts.
Yeah.
Logan Mankin's not there. Tom Brady there. Wes Welker there, but not participating. Took part with the rehabilitation staff very actively. The most active rehabilitation work I've ever seen on the field.
Working hard.
I'll second that.
Working
middle
hard.
Of drills, almost like getting in the way of some drills at times. Gostkowski's kicking, and he's kind of running routes. Joe Van Allen spent the whole time with him, basically tethered to him at times for resistance.
He is, route for people running. Who don't know. Yeah. Joe Van Allen.
Director of rehabilitation.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Van Allen. Also a trainer. Assistant trainer, director of rehabilitation. But I would say, in my own opinion, unprecedented on-field rehab work before the public eye.
Yep.
You know, and when you say tether, literally there was a
tether,
right? Oh, yeah,
a tether
connected from.
He had a belt with with the
adding
long,
resistance to the route running.
Resistance.
So,
rope behind.
I mean,
him.
I guess you could say it's a minor disappointment that he's not actually practicing now. But once again, watching him do what he's doing, I don't see how you can be anything but positive about Wes Welker's immediate future.
And most of the other players who weren't in pads were doing rehab type things
that we always see on the side,
the kind of
running,
stuff you see on the sidelines,
maybe practicing for the conditioning run if they failed that, if that's why they're not out there. Looked like some guys were doing those sprints.
Notable in his absence, number 53, Derek Burgess
not there.
Yes.
And
how much do we rumor monger on this show?
We don't.
Okay.
I mean, unless it's a real reliable source. I mean, if it's some guy in an elevator or somebody that bumped into somebody at Fenway Park.
What about a comment on our blog?
Well, I don't want to get into the habit of just throwing things out there.
Okay.
That's not fair to the reader.
We better get into the habit of not doing that.
But we'll just stress that it was notable that he was not there.
I heard that he actually was in Canton for an early Hall of Fame induction. They had waived the rules for Derek Burgess, and they put it. So,
wow. Sarcasm.
Groundless.
A little bit.
Groundless.
Sarcasm. 5 minutes into camp, and he's...
No, I just don't want
to... It was just notable, Fred, in that Sean Crable was cut yesterday, and today you don't have Derek Burgess.
Yes.
All of a sudden, Rob Ninkovich is your starting outside linebacker.
That's outside linebacker.
Opposite Tully Bantekin.
That is notable, but we don't have any idea why.
No, we don't. Right.
He's not on a list.
He's not on any list. Yep. He wasn't one of the active PUP people mentioned.
Yeah. Willie McGinnis wasn't there today. Derek Burgess wasn't there today.
Willie McGinnis is like Logan Mankins. He's not under contract. In fact, he's not in the NFL anymore in any way, shape, or form.
But, you know.
Despite his efforts, the contract.
Obviously, if we find out more about why Burgess wasn't there.
Yeah, we'll, and something.
I'm just proud of us for noticing because he was not there for 16 games a year ago. And
Bill Belichick had his
Is Kevin still looking for the rim shot sound effect?
I don't know, but he's already got the look of throwing his hands in the air like, I didn't know you wanted that.
I'm exploring a little bit. Yeah. I was down here for 2 hours last night playing with the sound effects.
Nice.
Just keep your hands above the table.
Explore yourself on your own time.
Let's see. what was I going to say?
You lose your train of thought there?
Andy's
talking about the guy exploring himself, and you lose your train of thought?
But Ron Brace, we should say, was among the players not participating in the workout on the side with Sam Aiken, Darnell Jenkins, and am I forgetting anyone, Eric? Welker, obviously.
Welker, of course.
And he, I don't believe, was included in any of those NFI reports early in the week.
No.
Not a good sign for him. I don't know why he's not out there.
No.
The chance is always out there that he failed the conditioning run. That's one reason why guys don't start camp.
Right.
Bill said all these guys that aren't ready are day-to-day, which is what he always says about the list of guys who don't participate. But coming off a disappointing rookie season, for him to not be out there day one is disappointing.
Absolutely. And of
it's Crable-like.
That's kind of what I was going with, because now you don't have Crable to mock, and he's always injured on IR. You know, if I'm Ron Brace, I'm careful not to become that lightning rod of mocking. Right.
And, of course, the news coming out of yesterday, Devin McCourty was signed. And
they also signed Devin McCourty.
And Sean Crable was released. So, you know, we wrote about that. I know.
He just doesn't listen.
Who wrote it on the blog?
I did.
Yeah, Andy wrote it on the blog yesterday.
It's my blog.
It's his blog.
But we haven't had a chance to talk about it. You know, when
the 07-08 draft class is getting worse by the minute.
Yeah,
we did.
The minute he showed up on that list.
It was over. Yeah. It was over. That was the nail.
Bill did leave the door open for his return at some point.
Back, sure.
He and John Lynch will return on the same day.
I gotta go.
Just like he left the door open for John Lynch to return.
Yeah. Right.
No, Sean Crable error is over.
As Fred likes to point out, Bill doesn't like to paint himself into a corner, so the question was asked, are you ruling out that he'll ever come back?
He also rarely kicks guy on the way out the door, kicks him on
That's true, too.
He generally gives him the letter of recommendation so he can sign
Help
with the Chiefs or the Broncos or the Browns. Or
but when
I'm going Broncos.
It,
Broncos
they had
prediction.
To make room for McCourty. So they had to get rid of one guy, and if this guy's not ready to play because he's on the list, well, you know.
No offense to Ross Ventrone, but Ross Ventrone is on the roster.
Right.
But he is not going to – he never had the potential, the look, the measurables of Sean Crable. So if you really just were cutting anyone, there were other anyones. They decided it was done.
But there's certain guys,
especially at a position where you need bodies and you need competition.
Well, you also need bodies at, you know, what Ventrone does during camp.
Camp bodies?
Yes.
Camp bodies.
But one of the, they closed the door on the Crable era. It was not, we were forced into a move we didn't want to make.
Right.
You chose to cut Sean Crable.
At one of the most important positions on the team.
Well,
the biggest hole, biggest weakness.
You know, with Burgess not there today, that really says, you know, what are we doing here at outside linebacker?
I mean, for PFW, that's great because our guy Ninko gets more reps.
Yeah, Ninko
literally, it's Vrabel. I mean, you just look at him. It's Vrabel out there.
A little bit stockier
Vrabel.
Well, except
for the playing. But, like, just the look. Like, the T-shirt almost hangs the same
way. T-shirt hanging out, yeah.
Just everything. You're like, oh, we're set now. Vrabel's back. We're good.
Yeah. 5 o'clock shadow thing.
Yeah,
everything.
It's amazing. It really is kind of eerie.
The number.
We should, before we get into all our various practice notes, I'm sure we'll talk about.
Why am I hearing phones ringing?
I don't know. Somebody's got their mic open in there. Next monkey in line behind the glass. Told you I wouldn't wait long before I started firing shots. We should mention one of the big topics of earlier in the week, the Troy Brown stripping of the history from the football offices
at
Gillette
Stadium.
Troy
Brown.
Not anymore.
Yeah, but Troy Brown was the one that
first brought it up.
Who was it?
Tom Curran, his co-worker at
CSNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNN
clearly a message, but it's not a message that was voiced, is what I took from all the players. It just happened.
It's just,
they came in, the walls were clear, they were bare.
It was like
they remained
Sing
bare.
Sing, as
Ty Warren compared Ty Warren to Sing said. Sing. There was no, you know, like I telling them what he did it for. It's just you should understand what we're doing.
Yeah, and if you don't get it, shame
on
you.
What they will do is they'll build those walls back up. After every win, they will put photos up of that of what happened in that game.
Oh, maybe. Or
I mean, the hope is that people earn their way onto the wall. That's clearly the hope.
Oh, yeah, they have it for current players, now, not the Super Bowl winning one.
Now, you know, some – well, I don't want to say some. At least one, Ron Borges, kind of made fun of the whole thing. I think – I understand what he's doing.
Of course, it's a psychological
thing. Everyone understands what he's doing.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah.
But I think Ron Borges' point was none of these games are going to work if the guys can't play. The guys have to be able to play.
Well, of course.
But is that
that's, that
really
goes without saying.
Something that not everyone realized?
I think over the years, a lot of Bill's system is the same, it'll work, has been thought of here.
But I think if you're if any intelligence, you realize, and you need the players.
The trouble is Ron Borges is a...
He hates... Bill
Belichick. So no one buys into, I think that's an, what he wrote today I think is accurate. He took cheap shots, which is what he does. But the point is, it's the players. It's not the system. It was Mike Vrabel, not the fact that you run a 3-4.
Right.
It was Willie McGinnis. It was,
look,
you know what I mean? Those guys made plays.
The players can make a system, and the system can help a player be better too.
But
if you have a smart coach and who understands his personnel, he will form the system around the personnel. He will not try to, you know, force guys to do something that they can't do.
All of that is agreed. But over the years, people began to buy into the idea of, in Bill we trust, he'll run a body out there, that guy will be ready, and he'll make plays.
Mm.
And I think people are starting to realize, maybe we really underrated. Maybe Teddy Bruschi was better than we thought. Mm-hmm. Maybe Rodney Harrison was better than we thought. Maybe the players weren't role players in a good system. They were very good players in a good system.
Well,
and I think that's the point.
I don't know. I think
the David Givens is
third receiver. David Givens was not a Jag that Bill Belichick necessarily built. He made plays for this team. He was a pretty good player when he was here.
He's a pretty good player. But I think that, you know, Rodney Harrison and Vrabel and Bruschi, they all got their credit while they were
so
here.
So did Bill.
You know?
And I think that's
the
point.
But he should.
But you never got to see what Vrabel, Harrison, and Bruschi were without Bill. You got to see what Bill was without them, right? And the defense wasn't good enough? So it answered a half of the question.
But, you know, you're talking about, you know, in the span of a couple years, losing all those guys and expecting the defense to be just as good.
And if the system was the core of success, it would be just as good.
But
we know it isn't, right?
Smart people know it. That's not
the case. But there aren't a lot of smart people. People began to assume certain things, right?
Well, I you know...
That's all the point was.
Yeah, but
it's not.
Who's he railing against?
I don't know. He's like Paul. He fights with people that
don't
exist.
That's
There's
what
no
I'm
doubt
saying.
About. And that's why no one takes. It's not credible, which is unfortunate.
Yeah.
Because I think the point should be well taken. It takes players. I don't care who you are or what your system is. It takes players.
And I agree. And I don't think any. The idiots.
One of those guys, Teddy Bruschi,
right?
At the ESPN draft special, whatever.
Yep.
Chastise people, don't ever say, as long as we have Belichick and Brady. Right?
Right.
That's the point Borges is making. It's the players. It's not just, you can't just ride the coattails with Jags if you have coach and that QB.
It goes back to, and they were talking about on the radio, I didn't really hear it, I think on 98.5 today, if you could only have one, the best quarterback in the league or the best coach in the league, which would you choose first?
Quarterback.
See, and I say coach.
I changed a little.
I used to always say coach.
I think quarterback because you could have the greatest mind ever calling the plays, but if the player unleashing the ball doesn't make the right decisions and inaccurate, then it's all for naught.
Just because you don't have the best quarterback in the league doesn't mean you can't have a good quarterback.
Well, yeah, but just because you don't have the best coach in the league doesn't mean you can't have a good coach.
No, but I think the best coach, you know, especially in today's NFL, has influence or has control of the personnel decisions as well. I'm factoring that into it.
Yeah, but you also have to factor in...
He's going to bring in the guys.
What's the difference between the best coach and the second best coach, or third best, or whatever, where the cutoff is?
I understand.
And what's the difference between the player, quarterbacks?
But the quarterback really can only control his own play
but
and
he
his
controls
job.
Oh,
but
so
he controls
much.
A lot
I
more
understand,
than that.
I understand, but...
Ineptitude at quarterback is impossible to overcome.
I understand, but if everybody...
Just like an ineptitude at coach.
You can have the best quarterback in the league, and if the people around him stink, it goes back to the thing. You need the players.
Your guy, John Elway.
The best coach is going to have influence on personnel, and he's going to know what to do with the guys that bring it. I think in this league, NFL, coaching is so much more important than any other sport. And I think if you can have the best coach in the league, that's the most important.
All right, let me bring up an example. Did you think Dan Reeves was one of the best coaches in the league?
Not necessarily, no.
But John Elway was one of the best quarterbacks in the league.
That's right, and he didn't win until he got Terrell Owens.
No, but the Broncos
won. What's his name? The running back?
Terrell Davis.
Terrell Davis.
The Broncos won and went to the Super Bowl with Dan Reeves as the head coach because of John Elway.
Sure.
They didn't go because of Dan Reeves. They went because John Elway was making plays for those Broncos.
I still say
he was carrying that team.
I still say that, you know, if you had the best coach, John Elway did not get along.
No, he didn't.
With Dan Reeves.
With Dan Reeves.
And you could say that a better coach, they might have won during those years. You know, he was at odds a lot of times.
But
with
the
Dan
fact
Reeves.
That they got as far as they did, as many times as they did.
Well, I mean, Jim Kelly got there four times. Who was his coach?
Well, Marv Levy was a pretty good coach.
He was a pretty good coach, but was he one of the best ever?
And he won two of those, he'd be considered one of the best ever.
You know, but he
was this close.
He was that close.
Every time that
he was
a
missed field goal away from changing greatness.
I still say in this league, the best coach is more important than the best quarterback.
Andy's point is completely accurate because down the hall, if there's a 3-point swing either way in a couple of Super Bowls, the guy down the hall doesn't get the kind of reputation that he has.
Well, true. I mean, all of this stuff is, you know.
So if Marv Levy.
By that much.
Right, exactly.
You know, I watched Get Smart the other night.
You know.
Can you tell?
But,
I'm not
you know.
Talking on my shoe.
That's just my contention. Now.
Would you believe?
But I think when people say, well,
no,
you know, as long
that,
as they have
hey,
Belichick
Bill.
And Brady, I don't mean, you know, I don't think that should be meant as they will win. But
they'll be competitive.
Starting from a better place than,
of course.
You
it's
know,
a foundation that 31 other teams would take.
Exactly.
All 31 other teams would,
well, 30.
Would Polian really take Belichick?
No.
I don't know.
Yeah.
30 other teams.
At
would
least
take.
30 other teams, maybe 31.
Right. But, you know, after that, after, you know, saying as long as they have Belichick and Brady, now it's up to Belichick to bring in the rest of the guys.
But what you fail to acknowledge, or maybe I over-acknowledge, is it's not just comparing it, and you fixate on this, to the rest of the league and your schedule, your mind automatically compares it to the New England Patriots.
I know.
Of 04, 03, 07, 01, oh this, oh that. So they've set their own bar that they will forever be compared to.
I know, but is that fair?
It is what it is, as a wise man
once
told me.
You know, the year that the Bears got out a few years ago and they lost to the Colts in the Super Bowl, you know, is it fair that they weren't the 85 Bears? You know,
well, that's different. This is the same players, the same core,
that's
the same
a whole different generation.
You can't compare Ditka
and
Lovie
generation.
Smith. That's an Andy Hart argument there. Come on,
well,
you're better than that,
you know,
Fred.
Come on, man. I think every year you just have the best teams that are the other teams in the league. You don't have to beat the teams in 04.
Sound bites all of a sudden.
You know,
trying to show that he really did spend 2 hours playing with.
Yeah, what does this button do?
We laugh at the stock answer that Belichick gives us that every year is different, but it is. I mean, it is so much different. You know, every year you start fresh. One guy who was good last year might hit that wall.
Well, he emphasized that.
Another guy who was lost last year might all of a sudden the light bulb goes off. You just don't know.
He emphasized that when he was asked about the schedule, strength of schedule, and said he hearkened back to the Dolphins going 1-15 and then winning the division, that he doesn't put much stock in any of that crap.
Well, you can't.
Right.
I mean, that's dangerous as a coach to do that. You can't do it.
But it's done by everyone.
But
he does it.
No, he does.
Yes, he does. When he decides who he's going to bring on and let go and makes decisions and where he needs
to
draft and not draft. Self-scouting is based on looking at last year what you were, hoping what you are moving forward.
But as far as what you're going to do as a team this year, you have no idea.
But he didn't know that when he had the best team in football.
Right. You don't.
Right.
We
brought you by Right Windows, the right segment of the show.
Brought to you by Mike Wright.
Interesting Mike, who was out on the field today. Mike Lombardi of NFL Network.
Yeah. Oh, yeah?
Hugging it up with Randy Moss, then hugging it up with Bill Belichick.
Oh, God.
You know, leaping right past the line where all the media has to stop because he's Mike Lombardi of NFL Network and go wherever he wants, apparently. But, very friendly encounter with Moss, and then 5 minutes later with Belichick. We know he has the Belichick reputation. He obviously has a relationship with Moss from their days together in Oakland.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Probably the guy that in some ways brokered that deal in my mind.
Lombardi has...
My guess is he was very much involved with Randy Moss landing in New England.
Lombardi's working for the Football Post or the National Post?
No. Can you be
NFL
up
Network.
To date? It's NFL Network and NFL.com.
He used to be with NFL Post or Football Post, National Football Post. Now he's with NFL Network.
Okay, now he's emerging as... one of the guys that has accurate information when he comes out with, you know, his little nuggets.
Is he?
You know, I think he's. I don't know. He and Schefter is blowing people away.
He's tied in.
He's really doing a good
job. Well, Andy and I
he's a little bit on the line here in New England.
Andy and I were talking about this a little bit yesterday. We were a little bit. I mean, the story of Mike Florio is even more, I think, astounding. The fact that this guy was just a super fan, started this website, and now it's the source that everybody turns to first for news, rumors, speculation, anything.
Yeah, but I think...
I never said that.
Even now, I think that most of the breaking news is coming from Schefter. I think he's leading the pack. I think most of...
Well, he was for a while when he was with NFL Network. Then when he went to the ESPN thing, he sort of slowed down a bit. Now he's back up to, I think, where
Jason
he was before.
Jason Lockenfora from NFL Network is doing a pretty good job. But you kind of get
the poor man's Schefter.
I think you kind of get things handed to you when you work for the league.
I don't want to assume that.
But
people assume we
get things handed to us, and we don't.
Right, that's true.
Is there breaking news about the hall at Patriot Place, the roof?
Presented by Raytheon.
You mean the solar panel?
That's a drop-in.
How come we didn't get a release?
Well, I don't think it's just the
presented
hall.
Presented by Raytheon.
Good. Because I noticed the whole hall roof is covered in solar panels.
Yeah, throughout Patriot Place, I think they're doing a lot of that.
How come that hasn't been promoted?
I think there was just a press release that went out about 45 minutes ago.
Oh, I was at practice.
Yeah.
So I was right. We hadn't seen it yet.
A little green initiative here at Patriot Place.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. It's going green.
For it. Break out the green jerseys.
I thought that
if I
had to pick one guy today that impressed me, Moss made a nice catch, which we all saw.
Yes, play of the day. We don't talk about that.
But I think Taylor Price.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Jimmy Sanders.
Taylor Price looked very good early, and then late had a nice catch in the end zone over Tyrone Wheatley, who was right on him. But Price timed it perfectly, snatched the ball out of the air in the end zone, made a really good catch. I think he is showing the signs that this guy can play wide receiver.
And while that's good,
I've been telling you that for weeks.
While that's good for Price, it's not so good for Wheatley because those are the kind of plays he needs to make, especially against a rookie.
Absolutely.
Now in his third year, he's fighting for his NFL life.
Yep.
Right now, he needs to make that play. I mean,
Tell you who else stood out: Pierre Woods on the goal line. Looked like a fire was lit beneath his buttocks.
Yeah.
A couple hits on Lawrence Maroney in the backfield.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he saw an opportunity and is ready to seize it. I don't know. I don't want to put too much into plays.
Padding knocked out of the helmet at one point.
He was throwing it around out there.
For a first all-team practice, they were a little bit physical.
Lively. Defense was ahead. There was some popping.
A lot of times the coaches had to remind them, stay up.
Will Fork fired in on that little goal line segment. We saw some good action. Will Fork fired in on one play.
Yeah.
Looked like he broke up the handoff. But could have been a combination of the wet ball and
defense was fired up there. They had some good action, I thought, in a drill we watched. One-on-ones, D linemen, linebackers versus offensive linemen were good first day banging.
Paul's back from doing all access.
Hey, you guys don't have to fill anymore. I'm back.
Oh boy!
Wow, certainly, that's true. Our portion of getting a chance to speak just ended.
I resign.
What? 508-543-7482 is the phone number. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address. Oh, you did your, what do they call it? Your hit outside?
Yeah.
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 Was it 5 points?
No, all access.
I thought you don't do
Patriots all access.
You don't do 5 points for all access?
Oh, Mike Reese hasn't started, neither has he.
That's for Patriots today.
What do you do for all access?
How come the only voice I hear is the Indies? All access, we just do.
What do you mean?
Cover the team.
Who?
Woo! Mike Reese and I.
Oh, you do, the two of you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks for watching, Fred.
It's a good pair. Mike Reese and Paul Perillo. Now, do you always choose, opposite?
Good cop, good cop.
Do you choose opposite, takes on a subject?
I actually appreciate that.
No.
I know nothing about
good pair.
He
was talking about Paul.
You do a lot of. You do a lot
I was
of a green,
for fat and skinny.
No, he's more of a pod.
That's what
an aqua pod.
Laurel and Hardy, do you do a lot of agreeing, the two of you?
I would say 75% of the time we agree.
A lot of head nodding, of course.
Although today we disagreed. He thinks that Logan Mankins still has a legitimate shot to be back.
I do too.
I don't.
You don't.
You do, Fred?
I do.
What do you know that we don't?
I don't.
We were asked to.
None of us does,
if we would close
what
the
do
door,
know?
And I said no. I would never close the door. I've been, We've been around too long. We don't close the door with Belichick. But if you're asking my opinion, I don't think he'll be back.
Didn't Frank Bauer say anyone can anytime the door is opened?
Yeah.
Meaning it's kind of closed right now. Either side could open it.
Yeah.
Right. But it's closed right now.
No, my point being, I would never say never. But my opinion is I don't think he'll be back in 2010.
I've seen a lot more contentious situations get resolved.
Fred, don't even believe your own crap now. You don't.
Not just, in Patriot.
Ty Law.
Not just in New England.
And I wouldn't count that as more contentious.
I mean,
than
it's
this.
Sports.
It was close.
Sports.
Yeah, well, I'm talking about
this
the
team
Patriots
is different
with Bill
than
Belichick.
Most sports. Yeah.
I think he'll be back.
And Logan Mankins is different than most players.
And I also think he
principal
alienated people other than people who have been alienated in the past. In other words, the Kraft family and not Belichick.
No, I know, but
and I think there's a difference there.
I think every fences will be mended, and he'll be back.
As I said, I would never say never.
Mm, yeah, I'm not holding out hope. But when you say these things, typically you know things that we don't.
I have no idea.
I gave up on that about 3 years ago.
Yeah.
I just think that
he started telling me Dexter Reed was 24 because of Ty Law. And
he lost. That was totally taken out of context.
It was. It absolutely was.
He's getting the hang of this drop-in thing. Is Dvorkin upstairs investigating food yet? Do we know? Is he
isn't it like 20
focused on that?
It's only 12:30.
He just told me he'd be back at like 10 minutes to one to two. So
10 minutes to two.
Yeah, you might be out of luck.
No, we won't. Have to
no, we'll be taking off.
I'll just go get food.
That's right. I can handle this. It's cool.
Yeah.
What, getting
just throw
us
your
food?
Hands up in the air. That's what most.
You can handle getting us food.
I could handle getting you food if I knew like the number to call. I wasn't told anything.
No, it's
on
Red Level press box.
Well, I could.
The press box.
Andy and I will make a run
we'll
later.
We'll make a run. If Paul can miss the beginning of the show, Eric and I can miss a little
Paul
in the
can
middle.
Fill for us when we go and get lunch.
I'll take that swap. You guys will get lunch for Fred and I?
That's great.
Yeah, we'll go.
Paul and I can carry the show.
That's true.
Really?
Why do you do that?
Really?
Why do you do that?
Open up the window.
Really?
Can you carry the
door is open, there's a possibility.
Was it not just an hour and a half ago you said, ooh, look at Belichick talking to that 59. Who's 59 out there?
I'm only kidding.
That 51. He's 51.
I'm only kidding. I know that's Rodney Mayo.
51 was the joke. 51 was the joke. 59 was serious.
Gary Guyton.
Didn't miss a single. Even the producer knows.
I know that's Rodney Mayo.
Been here a day.
Rodney Mayo. You know I'm bad with names and numbers.
O.J. Mayo.
Facts.
Paul, we were talking about
I heard you guys talking about things that flashed today, and I would totally agree with the physical nature of that goal line.
Yeah.
And Woods in particular, I overheard Andy when we were walking in because it's the only voice that was ever allowed to be voiced.
It's my radio show.
All right. I would totally agree with that. I thought the defense looked good. Interesting. I don't know. You know, maybe in the category of reading too much into it, but I thought that they were trying to slam it in over that left side. Where Kasher is now.
Make a point. Yeah.
And didn't get in. You know, probably in the category of reading too much into something.
Sure.
Maybe not, Paul.
Just throwing it out
maybe
there.
Maybe not.
Well, they got a good defensive line, you know.
But maybe not.
The other guy I thought that flashed, Paul, was Taylor Price. I don't know if you caught any of what he did.
I didn't notice him as much, but I really like him. I'm really intrigued by him. He's a guy that I do have my eye on, but I didn't notice him a lot today.
Saw a little sloppiness from Tate. Early on.
Well, Tate had a ball in the end zone, a little bit ahead of him, but he got both hands on
it
as he dove and dropped it.
But in individual drills and in some of the kick return stuff, he looked a little
indecisive.
I thought Maroney looked good.
Really?
When
Woods was stuffing him at the goal line twice?
I actually thought it was noteworthy that while they were doing those drills that we've been talking about, it was Sammy Morris, it was Fred Taylor, wasn't Maroney.
And no Darius Butler, who was in the springtime.
No, I'm talking about the running backs.
Oh, I thought you were talking about kick return
on those
stuff.
Reps that they were getting that were, I don't want to call them live, but semi-live.
Well, in the middle of the field,
it was Sammy Morris and Fred Taylor down that goal line on those runs. It was Sammy
he's
Morris.
He's a bad man.
I assume you guys talked about all the nuts and bolts, you know, the fact that Welker was doing all he was doing with the trainers and stuff that Andy was really high on during practice.
Indeed, Paul.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. I use the word tethered.
We got a lot of emails or what?
We do. We do have a lot of emails.
Well, why don't we get to some of the emails, and maybe we can answer some of the questions that the fans have.
Okay. Well, earlier we got into a brief discussion again about...
You got into an argument already?
Yeah,
it is 20 minutes.
It wasn't really an argument. I think it was a discussion.
It was more of a discussion than an active discussion.
Now we're having an argument as to whether it was an argument or a discussion.
One we've had before, if you could have the best coach or the best quarterback, which would you choose? Obviously, I pick the coach. These guys pick the quarterback.
Obviously, Fred Kurtz. I said I've kind of wavered on that because I used to be all coach. I'm starting to go a little more to the quarterback now.
Stephen in Warwick University in the UK says, Fred seems to have a particularly short memory when it comes to the best QB Everything. Versus best coach debate.
I'll take the quarterback. I want to be on record before you get into all the emails. I'm on their side.
I seem to remember the best quarterback in the league going to the Super Bowl last year with the corpse of Jim Caldwell as his head coach being narrowly defeated by the second best quarterback. How close were Jeff Fisher, John Fox, Shanahan, Tomlin, and Belichick, the supposed top head coaches, to the Super Bowl last year? Well, I mean,
even though that shot at Shanahan,
yeah, even though that
wasn't in the league,
but even though that backs up what Andy and Eric were saying, I think that's a little unfair. It's a one season microcosm.
Right.
It's like the year that the top like nine rushers in the NFL, none of those teams made the playoffs. Okay, so I guess you don't have to run the ball then.
Right.
You know, Peter King wrote a big thing about that, I remember at the time. I think a lot of those kinds of things just turn out to be cyclical, and they change from year to year,
they
and you
do.
Never know.
I just think that in my point, Paul, was that of all the sports, this is such a coach.
I think it is a coach-driven league, but I've seen a lot of bad head coaches win with great talent.
No, but here's my point. I'm also factoring in my top coach, because he is the top coach, is also either in charge of personnel or has the,
as usual, there's qualifiers and facts. It's not just that he's a great X's and O's guy. He's also a great motivator and a great talent evaluator and a great drafter.
Because I'm saying that you got to have the players.
Right.
You got to have the players.
Basically, when you ask that question on its surface, I read that as, is it more important to have a great player or a great coach? And I'll say a great player every time.
But
if you're going to put all the qualifiers in, then you need a great coach.
He muddies the water.
Right.
I mean, I've seen great quarterbacks put their teams on their back and go way further than they should. I haven't necessarily seen a lot of examples of great coaches taking no talent and dragging it. Now, we saw Belichick do it in 01.
Did we?
Well, yeah, I don't think that was a very good team.
It wasn't. But that's kind of where we got into this discussion, because we started to talk about the players versus the system, and at some point did we underrate Harrison and Brewski and guys, David Givens. He's just a jag that Belichick turned into a guy.
I'm just talking about 2001.
No, but this was the discussion. But even then, it was always about Belichick's system and Belichick the genius, and
you're seeing it's not the system.
And that's what I said last year. We got half of that answered. We never got the other half. Had Belichick retired in 03, maybe we would have got the answer. Maybe they would have fallen off the planet with the same talent.
And he's still a great coach. They're still cranking out double-digit win years every year.
That's the root of the discussion.
But when you take away the talent, you're no longer going 16-0 and 14-2.
Right, but I don't think that's not a headline. I think if you're smart, you that's a given, what you just said. I think you got to have the talent,
Yeah, but I don't think you have to have the
coach.
But
I think a good coach.
I think there is examples of teams that didn't have to have the coach.
There might be an example in Pittsburgh. I'm not sure we're all sold that Mike Tomlin's the greatest guy that ever walked the planet as a coach.
I think, in fact,
we mocked him
Mike
when he
Tomlin,
wasn't with them.
Barry Switzer.
When he was with Minnesota.
Brian Billick. I mean, there's been some pretty average guys.
But you can have
George Seifert.
Yeah, you can have examples of anything. But
that's a lot. That's a lot of examples.
But his argument is you can have examples of anything.
But I think
the emailer makes a good point. Jim Caldwell. Are we to believe that this is like the greatest head coach who just walked in?
But I think a good coach doesn't try to take his system and force guys to play in it if he doesn't have the right personnel. He's going to adjust based on the personnel that he has if he's smart.
Right.
That's what makes a great coach, is being able to adapt.
And I would argue to some degree a quarterback's the same thing.
I agree.
We've seen Brady doing it a variety of ways.
Sure.
Dink and dunk, mid-level passing, bombs to Moss all day long.
Exactly.
You're great.
Brady has excelled in, you could say, different offensive systems. One where he just had to manage it and one where he had to be the guy. And he's excelled in both.
Yeah.
I think that's
same system, but he took advantages of aspects of the system.
I think that's what makes Brady great.
Right.
He's so smart.
Yeah. Right.
But
that's my point. You're arguing that the coach tailors it to his personnel. I think the quarterback does when he plays, when he sees what he has on the field.
Yeah.
Because if Moss gets hurt tomorrow and it's just Brandon Tate and Matthew Slater running down the field, I don't expect Brady to play the same game that he would. I think
and
he'd
I don't,
be different.
I don't expect Brady to make him play the same game. I mean, Belichick to make him play the same game.
Right.
Right.
Right. Second time. That's a new record. Twice in the first half hour, we've reached the right windows, right point of the show.
Just let me know when we decide if it was an argument or a discussion.
A discussion.
We're going to have an argument about whether or not it was an argument or a discussion.
Right.
We have breaking news, by the way, into the studio
Carlos
here.
What do you got? 23rd home run?
Doc just said that he would take care of you in terms of lunch. So I'm
great.
Sure.
I'm glad you added in terms of lunch, because otherwise I wasn't.
You know what he should cut? He should get one of those carts.
Dip in his mouth.
And just fill up the cart and bring the whole cart down like a buffet.
Yeah, that would work.
That would be great.
That would work for me.
I'll see what I can do.
Rob from Ottawa. I listened live for the first half of last Thursday's show and then had to download and listen to the rest in bed. After one of my kids overheard you reading my email. Dad, you and Mom are disgusting, was the reaction. Ew.
Oh, is this the guy who shakes the bed?
I guess so. Oh, I'm glad that training camp has started. I'm sure you guys will be keeping us up to date. Too bad about Crable. He should have worked out, he said. I don't know why he should have.
Because he was a third-round pick.
He looked the part.
And he looked the part.
I also hope that
he's waist up anyway.
Is it time for that? Because I was the lone dissenter. I was the only one who really liked him, so I have to take my medicine. I was
Yeah, but after a while,
I fixated on his twigs.
No, but now it's official. It's over.
I was
I also
hope that... Not necessarily. He's still got a chance to latch on somewhere and be great. Right?
No. But he'll never be good because he wasn't with the Patriots, Andy. Is this your first show?
Romeo. Maybe he'll latch on with Romeo and KC.
I also hope that Andy is back at work.
Then it would have been... He never would have done that here.
Who had the tonsils out?
Jackson.
Who had the tonsils?
But he's closer to a girl than Sydney.
In the meantime,
based on his post-op activities, what a little bitch!
Unbelievable. Now he hates his son. He used to just hate his daughter.
He used to just be the daughter. Now
I know. I love both of them very much. But I,
unlike some parents,
he gets all serious. Father
unlike
Murphy
some parents,
there.
I can acknowledge their faults. They have some.
Oh, you're not like directing that to me. Either.
No, believe me, I'm not going to say what you acknowledge as one of your kids' faults. But
TJ, the world needs ditch diggers too.
Yeah,
I tell you that
to
all
go
the
down
time.
That road, come on, he can still strive
He's
for greatness.
Three. It's a joke.
Yeah, but what if he hears this someday?
Will is sharp as a tack. Not so sure about TJ.
In the meantime, I have a bone to pick with you guys about the whole fiction of journalistic ethics and sports reporting. I love what you do, but let's face it, you guys work in the toy department, and your writing falls into one of two categories. You are either a fan writing love letters about the object of his affection,
Eric,
or a fan
Fred.
Worrying that he may not be able to write a love letter.
Pauline.
Even when you break down the rookies, you are just surveying new objects to admire, like an old man fingering his jewels. No one really expects credibility from you. This whole business about Brady's contract, our reporters worrying they might be able to write a love letter. It's not actual journalism, nor should we worry about it.
I don't really get
it's
it.
It's not just football reporters that suffer from this problem. Just think about the golf press's reaction to the Tiger Woods infidelities. Well, while everyone else was digging into the facts, golf reporters were in a state of confusion and worried about Tiger recovering from this setback. That is still their story.
You're as blind as can be if you think it's just sports.
Right.
Because you need to read some and follow some political news on occasion, because it's not news.
Just read
it's all laced with opinion
and biases.
Just read
the same story in the,
I mean, it's a
the
total
New York Times, or the Boston Globe,
that
and Boston Herald.
So
one's conservative and one's liberal.
I have no the basis of criticism. Okay, I think journalism has kind of taken some steps back in modern day for a lot of reasons.
And that's what we talked about last week.
Journalism across the board.
Sports reporters don't have a lot of journalistic credibility to begin with.
Reporters.
Remember Spygate? Did no reporter ever notice the cameraman on the sidelines? Why did the public have to wait until an opposing coach complained? Similarly, football reporters are equally flummoxed when it comes to Bill Belichick. He's an arrogant toad who has yet to be held accountable for many of the stupid decisions he's made over the years. If an American political leader treated the press the way he treats you guys, they would be roasted alive by journalists. It never happens with sports reporters. The biggest blow to your credibility comes when every press conference where Bill stonewalls you, refuses to answer direct questions, and feeds you a load of crap. Don't worry, though. I still love what you do and still buy PFW, but let's not get things out of hand.
Yeah. Can I be the first to say don't bother?
No. Keep buying it. But
after that irrational rant.
See, I don't have any problem.
If you think this
with
is limited to sports and it's not
that's
in the political arena, you're not paying attention.
You don't pay attention.
But you listen to Obama get up there and make some corny joke, you know, make light of some serious issue, and you hear 35,000 people in the background.
Or just flat out.
They hold
I will say
to the
this. All politicians. If you ever watch debates, if you ever watch any of them, The question is asked, and the answer has nothing to do with the question.
Yeah. Well, I will say this, though. In the scheme of what's important or what should be important,
no question.
What we do...
That's the only part that I thought that was true, was the toy
store. But
story.
The trouble is, the toy stuff department. That's important is covered in the exact same way. I would argue
unfortunately.
I would argue there are more
that was the only part that I agreed with was
and
the toy
ugly
department.
Ties mm-hmm. in political news coverage than there is in any sports coverage.
And just to address the one specific complaint he had about Spygate, I don't know how you're supposed to determine what camera on the sideline is the one that's not supposed to be there. Because there's about 4,000 cameras on the sideline.
And
how do you know which one is not credentialed to be there?
Right.
And is taping another team's signal? How's anybody supposed to know that?
Certainly not from 300 feet away looking down on a mass of people on a sideline.
I want to talk about Brady and Belichick.
Okay.
That's what I want to focus on.
How about my new favorite player? Since everybody's trying to run Jimmy Sanders out of town, I might have to latch on to Thomas Williams. Fullback, linebacker. He's Andy in high school. He plays both ways, but he's in the NFL. What's not to like?
Oh, boy.
He's Andy.
Very
nice
man. He's very nice man, Fred. Wow. You'll get to know him in this next issue of PFW.
Oh, yeah?
Does MMA, too. You guys have
Does he really?
Oh, yeah. A little bit with...
Do you still do MMA?
What?
Do you still do MMA?
I haven't started yet.
Oh.
That is rare. You usually give up on these types of things after you try it once, like the juicer or the back shaver or the ball gobbler.
I haven't given up on the back shaver.
What is that called? The
he
nut
said,
gobbler?
I haven't given up on the back shaver.
He picks that one.
Right.
Not all the other things, yes, I've given up.
Alan from Scotland writes in, McClane. Hey, Fred, Paul, Eric, and the other guy.
Wow. What was that? I missed it.
Kevin?
The other guy.
Who's this?
Oh, this
from
is Bad
Scotland. Kevin.
From Scotland.
He wears a skirt. What do you want?
This is Alan.
A guy in a skirt said something to me. Alan in a skirt. He's still from Scotland.
I have been hearing a lot of negativity this offseason regarding the Pats' chances this season. A few people have us finishing third.
You're going
to
get killed.
Well, I just want to say to these people to get a grip. I, for one, actually believe that we will have a very good season. Mm. Look at the weapons we have on offense. We have Moss, Welker, Edelman, Holt, Price, Tate, Crumpler, Hernandez, Gronkowski, and, of course, the best quarterback in the NFL throwing the ball at them. We have a lot of depth on defense, particularly at defensive line. We have a good linebacking core, particularly at inside linebacker. I feel that Spikes and Mayo will form quite a partnership there and will be a force for years to come. We have good depth at defensive back. Bodden and Butler are good cornerbacks. We got McCurdy in the nickel. We have Merriweather, who is becoming more and more of an elite safety every year. And let's not forget that we still have the best head coach in the business. We have improved all over the field this offseason. We have a good, young, talented team that can compete. We had a poor season last year, and yet we still won our division, and we have improved this offseason. We have a good team, and we will compete. The sky hasn't fallen yet, so let's look at the positives. And P.S., I'm one of the U.K. Pats that will be at the Viking game.
Uh-oh.
So
all right.
I will see you then. I may be wearing a kilt, which, by the way, Andy, is not a skirt.
Right.
I'm glad he could read the roster. That's good.
And he just listed the roster.
And you won't be seeing Andy because as soon as he sees fans, he hightails it the other way, especially one wearing a skirt. Any man in a skirt scares me.
I think that Terrence Wheatley and Jonathan Wilhite ought to really be
concerned
about their future in New
Orleans. Ryan Wendell.
Every other player got mentioned but them.
Tommy Curran.
And I love how he just kept saying we got better this offseason without really targeting how we got better.
Well, Tommy Curran has just posted a story about Derek Burgess.
And?
The first few days of training camp are a time that's ripe for veteran players to pack it in. Given the option between another month of fishing or splashing with the kids by the pool and ramming it into grown men in 90-plus heat, some guys...
It doesn't say that. Please tell me.
Does he really say that?
Ramming it into?
Ramming into.
Oh, ramming into.
You said, quote.
I said ramming it into.
You made it something it wasn't.
I don't think I could come up with a legal drop for that one.
Some guys opt for the former. Could Derek Burgess be one of those guys? So it's a question.
Oh, it's a question. Oh.
He wasn't at practice and has not been seen at the facility. Earlier today, Bill Belichick said that all the players on the contract are here.
Did you?
That's telling.
Text and voicemail messages left with Burgess have not been returned. We're trying to get confirmation from the team on what the deal is, but haven't heard back.
That's a good point, though, by Tom, because he did say all the players on the contract are here.
Right, and didn't he – there was a release about him signing.
Yeah, he's under contract.
So he would be under contract.
Unless
he broke his contract and said, I'm not coming.
Right. Oh, wait a minute. Let me look at the quote. He might have said all the players who are here are under contract, which is different.
That would be a big difference.
Let me look it up. I have it right here. Hold on.
It doesn't really matter. I understand the difference, but it doesn't matter because if – Burgess decided to retire, he's not under contract.
Sam Starr says, Fred, you're right. The coach is more important. What happened in 08 when Brady went down 11-5 with Matt Castle? Have the other Stiffs explain that one away. I think, again, you can make examples.
Just
for
out of curiosity, how did they do in the postseason that year?
Can I say 08?
08?
No, 08. They didn't make the playoffs.
Not 08. 08.
No, it's kind of like all Doug Flutie does. It's kind of like all Doug Flutie does is win. What's his postseason record? What was his record in bowl games at BC?
Well, he got screwed at Tennessee.
I guess he doesn't always win.
The quote exactly, Fred, is all of the players that are here are under contract.
Okay, so
it's different.
It is different. Tommy Curran should read the quote more carefully. Because that's not evidence.
All the players
that are here are under contract.
Not all the players under contract are here.
That is different.
That's a big difference.
Happy with Andy. I just went to see what I wrote at the top of my blog. I got it right.
What?
All the players who are here?
Oh. Well, I quoted him as saying Logan's not under contract.
Did you notice how he said my blog again?
Yeah. Well, that's what he thinks.
Wow.
That's what
Fred,
he thinks.
I'm not the one who has pointed that out.
Yes, you are.
You pointed out.
Yes, you are. You're the one who pointed it out. That's why other people
and
are pointing it out.
You've gotten people to believe you. That's why people hate you.
It's the power of my blog.
That's one reason why people hate him.
You have a section of the blog called From the Heart.
Right.
It's not
a page? Not a page of the blog?
When Paul does Paul's calls.
Your pages
and what do you do, Eric?
Boring.
Quick kicks.
Boring.
Wow. This guy's giving us a boring.
Just go get us some food.
Next topic. Isn't he technically on probationary employment? Isn't there a certain period?
I'm sure there is.
Can we fire him immediately? We're an at-cause state or whatever, at large.
Yeah, at will.
At will.
Yeah.
We can fire him at will.
What are you talking about?
Whose will is it? Is it your will? Doc's will?
The company's will. Yeah.
I'd say it's Doc's will.
Oh, boy.
Mike, he's a pushover. You can walk all
Mike in Pensacola, like, no. Hey men of PFW and Eric.
Screw
I had a question concerning who you saw early on at training camp practice and punt return and kickoff return packages.
Tomorrow.
I'm hoping that the team designates Edelman as the main punt returner, lets Brandon Tate and Terrence Wheatley do the kickoff returns. Who seemed to get the most reps at these spots today at the practice, and who do you think should hold these spots? Also, how did Aaron Hernandez and Tyrone McKenzie look today in practice, as well as Kazier in the guard spot? Finally, I was just curious to know if you guys would be at the scrimmage that the Pats are going to do with the Falcons next month. I'm driving up to watch the practices and would like to meet you guys, but not Eric. Thanks, guys.
Well, you're out of luck, bitch.
Eric's the only one that's going to be there.
I'll be there, too.
So stay home.
Eric and I are going to be holding the fort down.
Keep your little hoopty in Florida there.
Is that Flowery Branch?
Flowery Branch, Georgia, yeah.
So he's flying all the way up here to go to a scrimmage?
No, he lives down there. Okay. He's going to the Atlanta scrimmage.
I gotcha.
Tate and Matthew Slater were the first group of returners, with Slater the off returner.
In kickoff.
Kickoffs. Yep. Kickoffs was the area of special teams.
No punts today, just kickoffs.
Punts tomorrow, according to Edelman. Edelman and Sammy Morris were the second group, with Morris serving as the off returner, much to the chagrin of Paul Perillo, who does not want Morris anywhere near the kick return game.
I kind of agree with Paul.
No.
And he is a bad, bad man.
The third group was Fred's new favorite player, Taylor Price. And the guy who Fred can't pronounce, Devin McCourty,
and they
the off returner.
But
then he got a rep.
Yeah,
so
they flip-flopped on their reps. One was up, and then they switched.
But Edelman did say, I think tomorrow they're going to work on punts. When I asked him what he felt last year when he dropped his first two punt returns as a Patriot.
Yeah, you really need to do something about him, by the way.
Are you just being
That's another reason why everybody hates him.
It was in line with questions about, does he feel bad for the rookies and their nervousness, can you empathize what they're going through
and they make a mistake?
Because you
dropped your first two punts.
So along
in the NFL
those lines,
year.
I said, if I recall, you dropped your first punt return and maybe your second in a row. Do you remember what that felt like, what you were thinking? Were you worried that it was already over before it started? And he had a very nice, cordial answer because he took it as it was intended.
And now Andy is starting to talk fast again.
You're adding him to your repertoire.
I
think I just read a scroll that Charles Grant.
I think
signed with Miami.
Baloney.
Okay.
Good defensive end. Good veteran guy. Could add some pass rush to them. Not positive about Miami. It was Charles Grant.
Ellis and Patriots?
Because
that was one of the common reactions to the Crable move. Can we sign somebody who's out there? Is Ellis still out there?
Right.
I believe he is. And he's a guy that I've been looking for all offseason and would sign today because I am not comfortable with the bodies they have at outside linebacker right now.
Speaking of NFL news, Jay Glazer reports that Albert Haynesworth did not pass his conditioning test the second day. He made it through the first part, but not the second, and probably won't be allowed to practice with the team in team drills.
I can't believe that he wouldn't pass a conditioning run after all the work he's put in the offseason.
Wait a minute. Shanahan's got a two-day conditioning test? Is that what that said?
He passed the first part. There must be two parts.
See how really conditioned you are.
And he's also the one that used to make him take lie detector tests, right?
What?
He had a guy take a lie detector test over an off-field thing.
Yes. Hell yeah. Underrated hard ass.
It was the guy that was here,
I
think,
right? Shannon has – he's the NFL's captain.
Did you work out this offseason?
Right.
I think it was one of those wide receivers that spent some time here, like Kirkus or something, one of those guys.
I believe you might be right.
David Kirkus.
David Kirkus. Yeah.
But I think people think of Belichick as more of a hard ass than Shanahan.
I don't remember his
I think his skin tone as like the surfer boy, well-tanned guy makes people think lightly of him, but he seems like he's a dictator.
Oh,
Shanahan?
Don't think
there's any. Well, he looks like Norman Bates. Oh. People have said that from day
one. You think our guy's paranoid?
I don't think there's any question that
No,
Shanahan's
I don't think our guy's paranoid. I think he's the best coach in football and does his best things he can for his team.
And I also think they have a quarterback who is among the best, too.
You called it paranoid.
No, Shanahan is like Captain Ahab. He thinks everyone's out to get him.
No,
Captain Ahab.
That's right. Yeah. You're right. I think that's the impression of Shanahan.
Quick total aside.
Tom Coughlin, too.
Was watching a movie the other night, Fred, and what pops up but you should be bird dogging girls and... in a movie. And
I
he
told
said that
you.
Last week.
I told you.
It's Nicholson.
Right.
In,
I said
the Cuckoo's
it was Jack
Nest.
Nicholson.
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
What are the chances, literally within a day or two after you said it, I watched it? And I've never seen that movie before.
That's unbelievable.
You've never seen One Flew Over the Cuckoo's
Nest?
That's
a great movie, huh?
It seems good.
Yeah, did you
it's
like
good movie.
It?
Good movie.
Did you see the whole thing?
Yeah,
or did
I think I saw pretty much the whole thing.
You've got to see the whole thing. You
Sorry.
Can't say I think I saw pretty much the whole thing.
My sister was in nursing school. We used to call her Nurse Ratchet.
Did she do anything after that famous? Like, she looks familiar, but I didn't know her from that, so... Like a,
I couldn't even tell you
like
what
a mother
is.
On a sitcom.
Oh, she
or...
did some other
IMDb
things.
Check, Kevin.
What's her name?
The woman who played Nurse Ratched on One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
No one knows what
things.
Her name is?
No. Can't think
strippers.
A lot of famous people in that movie.
We'll get
though,
it.
Huh?
Yeah. We'll IMDb it.
TJ and NJ says, hey, you guys should have called Paul 10 minutes before he got back from All Access and told him you didn't need him, that you were double booked.
Touche.
That was sad.
It was a sad day.
One of the top five funniest moments in PFW in Progress history.
Only topped by the fact that Eric asked me if I was coming back.
so you're coming back to the office,
Did
right?
Did you actually already have your shorts on at home?
No, I
wait,
was
he was still in the car.
I was just getting to EEI.
Maybe he was changing in the car on the way home. He couldn't wait to
the
get
The other day, he had his pants off in his office, then
Louise
his shirt off.
Fletcher.
Louise Fletcher.
What else
what
has
her
she done after that? It's going to take a minute.
Researching here.
Ethan in Delaware, while...
You got that doc thing down.
Hourglass.
Yesterday, Tuesday, we were talking about the place in Cleveland that we went to.
Yes.
Called the Winking Lizard.
There you go.
Ethan in Delaware.
Did you go to that place? It was like a... You never been to Cleveland?
No.
Okay. I should be describing the place then.
Ethan in Delaware says there's actually six of them in and around the city. So I'm not sure which one we went to, but it definitely wasn't in the city.
It was worth going to, though. It was good for our
Cleveland's
purposes.
A nice little city.
Yeah.
It really is. It gets a bad rap, but it's not a bad city.
They've done a lot.
This wasn't really in Cleveland,
but it's
still
not that great.
I think we were on the outskirts, right?
Yeah, it was definitely.
They've done a lot, but lipstick on a pig.
Perfume. So. Perfume on a pig.
Any of you guys seen a Dennis the Menace Christmas?
Nope.
No, she was in that.
Oh.
Is that the most famous thing?
I guess that's it, huh?
It's in 07. She was in the show Heroes on NBC recently. So.
Fred, you probably watched that show, right?
80s, 90s? I watched the first season religiously.
And then you lost
your mind.
She must have played the mother of the cheerleader.
She'd be old.
Yeah.
Playing.
Yeah.
She's pretty old.
She was kind of old back then.
Yeah.
We should probably move back to football.
She was perfect for it, huh? Let's see. Sam writes in, quick question. How long is the conditioning run, and did you know Derek Burgess might be retiring? So he heard it, too. P.S., the new guy in the booth with the hands down low, the opening intro levels were too high and distorted.
Come on.
So we have to... Actually, Doc was doing that, right?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, it might have been. Yeah.
Well, now
we know why.
Sense.
Now we know.
Yeah.
We talked about the Burgess thing.
The conditioning run is different for
varies
the different
by
positions.
Position.
Right. According 40,
50, 60, I believe.
Teddy Bruschi in his chat, his normal chat with ESPN Boston, was sort of detailing it the other day.
It's a series of 10 sprints, 40 yards, 50 yards, and 60 yards.
Depending on your position.
Offensive and
from
defensive
fat to skinny.
Yeah, offensive and defensive linemen of
40.
Shorter
to longer.
Linebackers.
Paul would run 40.
Right.
Linebackers,
Fred would run 50,
tight ends.
Eric and I would run 60.
And yep. then the running backs and cornerbacks go the 60. And it's you have 6, 7,
sets.
And 8 seconds. To, you know, obviously, the longer, the more time.
Right.
You do 3. What is it? 10 sprints,
and then a minute 30
then,
in between?
No,
3 minutes
no,
in between.
3 minutes in between,
and
30 Bruschi, seconds in between each sprint.
Yeah. Bruschi used to train by only cutting the break in between sets to a minute and a half. That's how he got his conditioning up. A couple of 2-3 weeks before camp started, he would do it like that. And he would only go as fast as it would take him to run the maximum allowed, because he said the coaches don't care how fast you run them, just as long as you pass it.
Right.
So he would go down to the millisecond,
like,
and it would take him 7 seconds
Chung
to run that.
Push-ups. By the way, I talked to Patrick Chung today.
Fraudulently.
It's Thursday. You got him.
I got him on Thursday.
You finally got him on Thursday. How was he?
He was monotone, but got the job done.
Speaking of, Paul mentioned he thought he might have read a scroll. He was right. Charles Grant has signed with Miami for approximately 2 years and $4.5 million.
The part that I wasn't sure of was the team. I knew Charles Grant signed a 2-year deal.
I'm Ted Koppel, and I think I might have read a scroll that.
So maybe there is a difference between sports journalism and news. It's like all players are under contract here, but all players who are here are under contract.
Not like when Byron Barnett, the hard-hitting news reporter from Channel 7, comes in to get to the bottom of
things. Jack also,
yeah,
Derek writes in from the University of Arizona. I'm not sure if you guys will endorse this or not, but I am writing for a website called PatsFans.com. Of course, we know that site. And my first article is up this morning. Congratulations. All the listeners, if you want to check it out, my name is Derek Havens. So there you go. And by the way, Mike Reese is reporting that Price was carrying 2 sets of shoulder pads off the field. That's right, Paul. Hazing is happening at training camp.
That is correct.
He was carrying Roy Williams pads.
That is correct, because it's funny.
66 was as
I
well.
Didn't talk Who's to. He? That's Cade Weston.
He was carrying 2 sets.
I was. I actually noticed Price in particular, and I made a mental kind of note to myself. Well, the rookie wide receiver here is carrying the pads. There won't be any controversy.
That's right. And
just because everybody doesn't mean it's not hazing.
I don't think that's hazing.
If you do something you don't want to do, it's hazing.
So
if you do something,
so if
basically
you
don't have a choice.
So if you
want to
get paddled in your butt, that's not hazing.
Am I going to be hazed?
Yep.
That's hazing. Geez. You don't want to do
it. But you
said
if you don't want to do it, it's hazing. What if you don't have no problem with it?
If you're forced
to
do it in order to gain acceptance,
right.
That's hazing.
But if you're forced to do it, that's not the same as.
Right. So if he doesn't do it, he's not going to get what he wants to get.
If Taylor Price doesn't mind doing it, is it hazing? If he has no problem with it.
Does he have a choice?
If he has no problem. Well, yeah.
Does he have a choice?
No.
Then it's hazing.
Okay. Well, he doesn't have a choice to get on the field either, but that's not hazing.
A lot of other stuff down there.
There's a lot of stuff they don't have a choice to do as rookies. It's not hazing.
Well, in my opinion, it is.
It's the rules. You know?
If it's something that he is forced to do in order to gain acceptance, it's hazing.
So practice is hazing.
Well, yeah.
No, that's part of his job description.
Coming to voluntary,
carrying other
coming
people's
to voluntary
equipment is not part of his job.
I don't know that.
No?
Why do only rookies have that in their job description? When we see the water
out there on the field in the corner of the
field, that's the water boy's
job.
You
think that happens? No. When they water down the field, the players dive in the mud while chasing fumbles. Do you think that happens and Bill Belichick has no idea, or it is approved, accepted, expected under his tenure?
Right. So what happens if a guy says, "I'm not doing that"?
I don't think it would be looked on very nicely.
I don't think he plays. So it's hazing.
Just like if he doesn't show up to OTA or whatever,
right.
It's not looked upon very well.
Now you're not doing your
job.
Now you're not doing your job.
I think fitting in on the team is part of his job.
The yearly ritual,
no, you are doing your job. If it's voluntary and you say, I can't do it, I don't want to show up.
This is a very simple thing for me.
I just don't agree with it.
The guy has said, please don't do it. Right. They haven't done it.
No, but they've done other things. They've shaved their eyebrows or they do something else.
The only
one I can remember that didn't have anything done was Curtis Martin, right?
Isn't
the story goes that
he predates me. He
was reading the Bible.
Right, and William McGinnis walked in and said, I can't do it. I can't do it to the kid.
Right, the guy's on the bed reading the Bible. I can't force him to do it.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's the only case I know of that a rookie has gotten away with that.
This is not, I think this is sort of being portrayed as something a lot bigger than I think it is. It's not a huge deal to me. I just think it's hazing. I don't like it.
I know what you're
I understand that 99% of the rest of the macho men out there think it's great.
No,
that's fine. I don't think you guys are wrong.
See, Paul,
I don't think you're wrong.
I kind of agree with you when it comes to, in my mind what hazing is.
I did it.
I agree with that.
The dictionary definition.
When I was a sophomore, I had to do all these childish little things, like carry pads off the field.
Yeah.
We had to be the guys that carried all the things. When I was a senior, it wasn't like I was big tough guy. I never made anybody do it because I didn't like it when I was a sophomore.
But I don't consider carrying someone other pads hazing. That's where I think we disagree. I agree with you about the whole.
Well, just because you
the foolishness of it.
Just because it's not as it's something that you don't deem distasteful doesn't mean it's not hazing. It is hazing.
I just think it's kind of like a tradition more than hazing.
It is, but they're all traditions. It's tradition, like Andy said, to water down the field and slide out there.
But to me, I can draw a line of what is hazing and what isn't. You don't.
What you think in your mind is okay to do.
Right.
Someone else might have a problem with it, like I do.
Right.
But do you feel the same way about they have to stand up and perform the little rookie acts before team meetings?
Yeah. It's hazing. Unless if the guy wants to do it and he's not bothered by it, that's fine. I don't have, like I said, I think it's being portrayed as this, I have this big philosophical problem. I'm going to write Congress and put a stop to it. It's not a big deal to me. I just didn't like it. I didn't like the idea of, I had sophomores who started at tackle when I was a senior in football. Why should they not be treated like everybody else? I needed them to block when I was playing. I need to protect me. Why would I want to say, you're not as good as me, so you have to do this menial task?
See, I don't know what
I need you to go out and play
kinda,
for me.
Kind of different than the rest of the world. You guys,
we didn't do anything that was that you got you on the news. We didn't do anything with broomstick handles and whatnot.
And so, teabagging?
No, never. Nothing.
That's
where
I draw the
nothing like that. I
have a strict do not teabag.
Fred, I'm not being obstinate. There's a huge difference between law-breaking kind of things and carrying pads. Yeah. There's an enormous difference. You're not even talking about apples and oranges. It's a much bigger difference than that.
Stripper says that Darius Butler is tweeting that he doesn't like the pillow at the hotel and he had to go home and get his pillow.
He needs to stop tweeting. Right? He does more tweeting than, Butler.
Obviously, he didn't have a sack.
These guys, a little bit, especially now that camp has started. I mean, focus on playing.
What'd you think of his tweet war with Chad Johnson? Ochocinco, whatever.
Bodden's?
I thought it was Butler.
No, it was Bodden, wasn't it?
I thought it was Butler who said, well, we saw you in the preseason and you were nothing special except your kicking. I thought that was Butler.
I think it was Bodden.
Okay. Well, what'd you think of his?
I just don't like the whole Twitter thing.
I don't like Twitter, but I don't have any problem with if the players want to do it. It's another thing like
no, but that was the off season. That was the off season when they were doing that. Now it's like campus
2 days ago. It just happened.
It was like a week or two
when
ago,
they got T.O. When they got T.O., Chad Johnson sent something out about torturing the Patriots.
Oh, okay, maybe we're thinking of separate instances then, because there was something else that there was a little war.
Yeah, that's why I thought it was Butler.
So maybe it's two separate things. Okay, maybe you're right. Maybe there were two different.
Strippers also says that Price.
Either way, I don't
Price
like
carried
it.
Moss's pads, and he's a good rookie. So, I did notice that Moss didn't have his pads, so somebody must have been carrying him. I assume.
But he's Moss. It could have been like Brady.
Brady.
Belichick, I mean.
Although I did see Brady.
They're going to make sure he's happy.
I did see Brady carrying his own pads.
Hey,
I don't see what the big
deal is. We have the best coach in the world
carrying pads.
It's not a big deal.
No, it's
not
just
a big
stupid.
Deal. Yeah. But Brady was carrying his own pads.
But did you see the follow up to the story out of Dallas in that he didn't have a problem with Roy Williams? It was the tone with which he approached him to tell him to carry his
pads. Well, that's
pads
what we assumed that might have happened.
And then Rodney Harrison was the one who quelled the whole situation. He went there, interviewed him, and apparently told him to shut up, carry pads. It's part of your role, basically. And so,
very your guy story. Rodney Harrison likes doing it.
Listen, I am
your guy.
I'm an army of one. Every single person in the NFL would have the same opinion that you guys have.
Maybe if you would carry pads, you'd be in the NFL now.
I did carry the pads. I did it as a sophomore.
That was as a senior.
I didn't make people do it when I was a senior. I carried my own pads.
Yeah, I never did any hazing.
Why? Why wouldn't you have done it?
Because that's not my personality. That's not what I'm into. That's not what I was about. So I don't have a problem with the tradition. See, you.
I don't have a problem either. I just don't like it.
I have no problem saying that's a tradition. It's the way things are done. And going,
I would never, ever advocate. If you don't want to do it, you should make a stink. You shouldn't do that. That would be to me having a problem with the tradition. I don't like it, but I did it. I did everything that they asked me to do. I carried all the dummies out to practice every day when I was a sophomore.
Huh?
That's why he walks.
I told you there was no broomstick handles involved.
Teabag.
Those are disgust. Those I don't understand.
Yeah, I don't understand that part.
I don't understand. I really don't either. Where the enjoyment comes from the people who are administering.
You know what it reminds me of? Eric Cartman saying when he was sleeping,
"Hey, you're gay."
I put his penis in my mouth. That makes him gay, and all the friends are like, "No, that makes you gay."
Right.
That's what it reminds me of. Right. These kids do these things that are just psychotic.
Yep.
I have a really disgusting one to tell you from BU hockey, but I can't say it on the air.
Brian from Aspen.
I was sick of it because it sucks.
Slow down on your judgment of Caldwell. Wasn't he handpicked by both Polian and Dungy?
Yes.
Seems to me if you're handpicked by both St. Anthony and Lucifer, you have your bases covered. And who was the QB on the pass to Price? I don't know.
Passed.
Was that the end?
At the end?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're the only one who saw that play. So.
It wasn't Brady. I can tell you that.
Uh-oh. That's not all that uncommon when Fred's the only one to see something.
It wasn't Brady. No players on the field. After they had their team huddle to break, and then they go back.
So it was
post-practice work?
It was opportunity work?
It was
either Hoyer or Robinson.
Yeah, Wheatley was covering, but it was just a really nice catch in the end zone.
Kind of hurts for Wheatley.
Yeah.
Opportunity work.
And he didn't make a play.
Yeah. Not only was he out there competing, he wasn't really competing.
Missed it by that much.
Mark in Oxford, thank God, proper football talk. All I've had for weeks was Fred dribbling on about is Brady a leader or isn't he?
Fred really beat that one.
I nearly threw myself under a bus listening to the podcast on the way to work. Thank you. The boys are back. On to football. Crable getting released was no surprise at all. Which group of players are you going to pay particular attention to in regards to training camp battles? Conditioning runs, sounds like Paul is an expert on that one. Anyway, I'm over in Boston in September for the first 2 weeks on vacation, so I'd love to pop by and grab you guys lunch on me.
Can you do it today? Because no one's brought it down yet, because we need somebody lunch. Anyone? It's after one.
I already put in the call.
Training camp battles?
Well, obviously outside linebacker, especially if things continue to...
Yeah.
Operate if Burgess, without Burgess.
It may not be a battle.
Crable,
they may only have two guys.
Right. No, but I mean, it's an army of one.
If isn't here, that's, that makes it even more. I think it's wide open even with Burgess here. But without him, you have no proven guy. You have Pierre Woods, Rob Ninkovich, Jermaine Cunningham.
Right. As much as we make fun of Burgess, he proved last year he's not going to fall on his face, completely embarrass himself.
No. He wasn't the double digit sack artist that we thought. Right. Or some people thought we were getting because
but
he had done it
he was
a few
capable
times before,
of being on the field on in an NFL game.
Yeah. He wasn't
overpowered.
We don't
know that to be true for significant playing time of Rob Ninkovich. We are closer to knowing it's not true with Pierre Woods. I saw him get manhandled at times last year, more than I saw Burgess get manhandled. Burgess, it was like we always say brother-in-law, it was just kind of a non-battle. The right tackle and Burgess took each other out of the play. Woods got taken out of plays at times.
So that's a huge one. The inside linebacker job next to Mayo is a huge one.
Sure.
Guyton seems to be the guy entrenched there.
Ooh, he got run over on the goal line, too.
Yeah, he did. I saw that play.
But at least
you have Spikes and you have McKenzie that we know absolutely nothing about.
Right.
Just like the guys that Andy's talking about. I mean, they're more intriguing.
But if you lose Burgess, it would be like losing Guyton. You had a guy who started there last year.
And we should throw
those guys are more intriguing because they're not fifth and sixth year guys who... You kind of not like Pierre Woods, like Andy said. You kind of
five. You guys are interesting. We should write about
it. You don't think they can play?
We also mentioned earlier in spring practice about Dane Fletcher, the rookie. His body type being more suited for inside linebacker. He took a lot of reps at inside linebacker today, in a lot of those drills too.
Andy told me that's because I was the only one that wasn't aware of where he went, and Andy said he's inside linebacker from the start.
Right.
Yeah. I thought that. He was one of those undersized edge guys in college, but evidently not.
Oh, he might have been, but at this level, he's built more as an inside linebacker type, and that's where we've been seeing him.
Jim from Detroit, any news on the punter controversy? How is King stacking up to don't mess with the Zoltan?
We have
not
no
well.
Very funny. King was cut couple of months ago.
King is gone.
And they did not punt today.
Yeah. So
they worked on field goal, kickoff. Field goal was good right up until the end, where he may have missed the last one, according to Arthur Love.
He missed the last one.
Kyle Love.
That's okay. A lot of love.
But, yeah, it was kickoff returns and field goals at the end of practice today.
I believe Mesko was fine with his holds. I didn't see anything.
Yeah, didn't seem like there were any problems.
Ingram was
nice package,
snaps.
Bear.
Yep.
Dan from New York City says, I always listen on my BlackBerry via the mobile site, but Tuesday's show as well as last week's shows are still not there. Hopefully someone can post them soon.
Come on.
I know that we found that out yesterday, and they're working on it. Something happened with the feed. So...
Okay. We'll do it live.
Error.
Do it live! I can, I'll write it, and we'll do it live!
Remember, is there a monkey involved?
Remind me to send an email later.
To who?
I don't know. Fred.
What?
Will you CC Fred on it?
Justin wants to know if we think Wes Welker will be ready by week one.
Yes. Yes.
And if not, do you think this will affect the team? Well, yeah.
It would,
well,
yes.
It would, but he won't, so...
I think he'll be back, and I am not going to be surprised if we don't see a lot of him this summer, other than what he's been doing. I don't think it makes a whole lot of sense to put the pedal to the metal and have him get out there for every preseason game. Maybe if you want to get him, you know, get him tackled in the preseason once just to kind of get that out of the way, maybe. I would just assume skip the whole summer and let him continue his work and
yeah.
and go from there. Because you need him. He's an important part of the offense.
Right.
All right, 508-543-7482 is the phone number. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. I'm surprised no one's called today. A lot of emails, but no calls. A
lot of emails?
Unless I just didn't know that there was somebody on the phone, no?
Phone lines are wide open.
Wow. It's because everyone that would call would be, you know, where was that training camp?
That could be. Although we have
no, we're a worldwide. We have a worldwide following, Kevin. You'll have to.
This isn't any rinky-dink Boston station.
See these maps in the back here? These are all have pins in them.
They
from
call
the
on the Skype.
Listeners
we're global.
They, right. they use the Skype and they call.
Economies
them.
Are global, and so is PFW. Food,
Doc.
All right. Doc, looking dumb and not carrying
why
you, food.
Why are your hands empty?
Oh. He's gonna yell. He's gonna swear. Go ahead.
Let's take a break. Andy and I will go upstairs.
If you guys went up on your own, I'm going to get you food.
Andy and I
telling us he
now
made
you
the
get
call,
nothing.
And our lunch was ready. Can we
now you get nothing?
No, we'll get.
Why don't we go to a break? Andy and I will go up and get some food.
I thought we'd go to a break when the food came.
Yeah. Well, apparently it's not coming because Doc is not getting it.
No, it's coming. He's on the way.
Tell him to use a cart.
What's up there? Anybody know?
No idea. I don't know. I'm going to be disappointed.
Yeah, he's not
going
to be able
already.
To carry
he had the intern with him, too. I figured she'd be carrying it.
She's an intern. What do you mean by it?
I don't know. The food.
Oh, I thought you meant his
he goes,
unit.
He goes, I don't know.
He took it seriously like it was a serious question, not a reference to Doc's junk.
Yeah, well,
she'll we find go? Out everything is a reference to someone's junk.
Should we go and make it?
The Albert Hainsworth thing to me is just
as well.
Yeah, see that? Now you're getting it.
I yeah. find it very, what?
Should
very
we go upstairs too?
No. Amusing.
I mean, if it wasn't for his contract, he'd be so gone.
Oh, or if they could get that contract, that bonus money they just gave him.
Todd says the thing with Paul on Tuesday being turned down by the Big Show.
Oh, yeah.
Said, it was the saddest moment on PFW. It's like if Eric tried to hire a hooker and she turned him down. Poor Paulie, being a media whore isn't as good as easy as it used to be.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's very true.
Although you were going down your list of things you're doing now. Oh, my God.
I'd call him a whore.
It's like a dozen different outlets that you're on.
That would be offensive to who? No, there aren't.
There are. You're two radio stations, a television station, our website. What else?
I was going to say our newspaper, but,
could,
you know.
Could be
he doesn't really, do anything
that
for that anymore
it
either.
Could be another TV station. That's not.
Contributing
that's not
writer.
Right
now.
There, that's seven. That's unbelievable.
Interesting. Interesting number, Paul. Seven.
How about a little something, you know, for the effort?
Andy
know?
Had a couple hits today.
What does seven mean?
Forget it.
Andy had a couple hits on the radio today, Paul. Did you know that?
No, I was which half paying attention.
Yeah, he told me about his appearance this morning.
He did The Toucher and The Rich, and then he did Maine.
Yeah, he actually talked to me.
Big
I didn't,
in Maine.
I didn't realize both of those were today, but he did tell me about them both.
Busy, busy, busy.
Let's see.
How come you don't make fun of him? How come it's just Andy did two hits today?
Carl writes in.
He just glosses over it, doesn't he?
What? Baloney.
Not
a Paul.
Nothing.
What do you, okay. What's
I'm still trying to figure out the seven thing. I don't get it.
I know. It's probably
do some, you get it?
No.
It's nothing overly... interesting, funny. Well,
I'm fine with it
noteworthy.
Now that no one else knows what you're talking about either. I just thought I was being an idiot.
You are.
Okay.
Carl writes in, Andy.
Yes.
Your 9-7 prediction is overly generous.
When did I go 9-7?
No, he's
no,
6-10.
It's 6-10.
No, I want to know when I made a prediction at all.
The number you're most
associated with
is
6-10. Right.
During the
draft? That's fine because you associate me with that. But when did I make a prediction?
I don't know. I'm just being.
Have we done anything
I'm
yet
just
where
being
I.
Andy like to
well,
you.
I just. I really don't remember making a prediction.
Carl says terrible drafting and worse free agency has left this team with gaping holes at wide receiver, third spot, in outside linebacker, pass rush, no home run, running back, inexperience at the corners and punter, major losses on offensive line and defensive line, poor inexperience, second-level coaching for new player development, according to Reese, a terrible, unimaginative offense coordinator, and a head coach who was spread too thin. 7-9 would be more likely.
How did Reese get thrown in the middle of that, and what exactly was he attributed to?
Maybe he said Floyd Reese? I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Because there's no offensive coordinator either, so I don't know who he's blaming for that.
That's the thing. That's what really screws you. They're going to blame Bill O'Brien, even though he's not the offensive coordinator.
We'll tie that one up with the guy from Scotland that was mad at
Andy. In a skirt.
That, you know, it was just the opposite. They have all of these players. And
somewhere in the middle is the objectivity of PFW and reality.
We'll mix them together and we'll come up with something. Right?
Yeah. Right,
this guy, we have gaping holes at every position except for quarterback and head coach.
Let's see. Nano has a good email. He says, so far, two shows, two late meals. On Tuesday, when questioned, the new producer said something like, I would like to know where it is as well. And today he said, I'll put in the call. Am I wrong, or is his job, number one job, to get the food and get it on time? That is true.
That is the number one job. It does change slightly in training camp.
That wasn't on the offer sheet I sent.
A lot of things that are on your offer sheet.
He hasn't even been on the job for a week, and he already is refusing to take responsibility. A good employee would say, I'm working on it. I'll check on it right now. It was a bad sign when he started to make fun of the board and set up on day two, and now he can't do his number one job. Good hire, Doc.
Yep, we got the Des Bryant.
Did I not get Doc down here for you guys, though? At least I got him down here.
You did, but, you know.
He's doing a million things.
Until I'm chewing, I don't care about anything else.
The million things don't matter. The one thing that matters is our lunch on this show.
They have to get me interns then so they can, you know, go get.
Listen to this guy. He's been on the job for three hours and he wants an intern. Yeah.
A food intern wouldn't be a bad idea, though.
It's a great idea.
How come PFW doesn't have any interns?
It's the first year we haven't
had
any. Carry my water.
Whatever we need.
To haze?
We don't need hazing. We got enough to do.
Thank you, Andy. He's the only one that got it.
What'd you say?
To carry my water. Oh. It was supposed to be the irony of. Never mind.
To carry your notebook from the press conference?
Him going to press conference is a good one, Eric. That's almost as funny as me coming back here the other day.
James writes in from Brisbane.
Brisbane.
Hey, guys. Hopefully all four of you are in today. Show's much better with all of you there. Well, we dispelled that thought today. Anyway, some good news for you guys is I'm planning on subscribing to the online magazine to say thanks for keeping me entertained over the last month or so while I was incapacitated after my knee operation. I would buy you guys lunch, but I remembered that Paul was going to be back from his holiday, and I'm only on a student budget. So my promise is once I get back to work in the next week or so, I'll subscribe.
Or when Paul's not here.
It's better when all four of us are here.
I agree.
I was on holiday.
I like that.
The sum of the parts is greater than the whole. No.
Anyway, bit of news that I found very interesting is that Bill is apparently cleansing the locker room by removing all reminders of past glories, aside from Brady, Light, and Falk. I like that because it seems like his message for the year will be to challenge the team to form their own identity, and that past trophies mean blank this year.
What is this aside from Brady, Light, and Falk? What does that mean?
I don't know if they took those. I think they took everything.
He's just listing veterans. Crossover players.
I was wondering. I wasn't trying to be a smart guy. I was wondering if he was talking about they left some of the guys that are still here.
I don't think so.
And like Will Fork and Warren and those guys.
Bare as a baby's bottom.
I know from talking to the players, the walls are completely bare.
And I'll tell you how good a coaching move this is when Fred tells you how the schedule was. Because you can't, it's going to get praise if they have a great year and they come together as a team and they're making plays, and it'll be lumped in with bad decisions if they have a terrible year.
Sure. I think we're all aware of the theory that players seem to play up in a contract year. Do you have a few impact players who may decide that this is the year that they have to play well?
Moss.
If they want any more money. Some of guys like Moss, who did okay in his last contract year. Maroney could really have good individual season. Next negotiations.
Did okay in his last contract year when he had the greatest season of wide receivers ever.
Straight cash, homie.
That's right.
I think if Moss has a down year, 55 catches, 850 yards, 7 touchdowns, but we do okay in spite of
specific.
That, one playoff win, he may decide he could have a better future as a role player here for the next few seasons for a relatively decent sum of money compared to him having an 07-esque season that might make him think that he could get another three-year, $30 million deal, which everyone knows we won't give him. He sounds like he wants to stay here and simply isn't expecting an offer that will match his expectations. Someone like Maroney, however, I don't think it matters what he does this season. He'll be out of here, so a good season from him may help him with another team next season, and a bad season may relegate him to playing for St. Louis as a backup for Jackson. So after all that, my question for you guys is, looking at this year and also for the next 4 to 5 years, assuming there's football, which player on the roster, non-Brady, do we least want to have a successful contract year in 2010, and which player do we want to have an MVP season this year?
Which player do we want to have an MVP season? Tully Bantakane.
Oh, God, yeah.
If he can have 20 sacks, I think that'll be a huge boost to this team.
And they'll need it now.
Right.
Maybe more than ever.
Yeah.
It's the greatest weakness.
This is like an essay question.
I'm not exactly sure what we're looking for here.
That we're looking for somebody to have an MVP.
Read it again.
It had like a four-part question.
Yeah, it was having to do with contract years.
Looking at this year and also for the next 4 to 5 years, which player on the roster, except for Brady, do we least want to have a successful contract year in 2010?
None. I vote for them to
all
have good
years. None. I want them all to have great years.
That's what I didn't necessarily understand. Why wouldn't we? I want Randy Moss to catch
23
touchdowns again.
Exactly.
If we can't afford him next year,
right. I don't care if Maroney has a great year.
Not so be
I'm
it.
Not worried
so
about
be it.
It negotiating with Jack him Pat. Next year.
You know? Oh, giddy up.
So I don't know.
Fred's distracted. Food just came.
All the best, guys, and try to get Lindsay on the show again. She seems
I smell
fun.
Cookies.
So.
Oh, yes.
All right.
Thank you very much.
508-543-7482 is the phone number. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. We'll be here until 2 o'clock. Right now, let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
PFW in progress. These guys rock.
You're damn right they do.
Patriots.com radio.
It's actually very well done because I was wondering.
So, Pat, what time does our flight get in? It
says here American Airlines flight 505 gets in at 7:05.
Perfect. Game starts at 7:30. I suppose you know our gate number, too?
Yep. It says so right here on my phone, Brian.
Yeah, you think you know everything because you have one of those smartphones.
What's wrong? You're jealous because I can check AA.com, get flight info, gates and times, pretty much anything flight related?
I like to keep it simple. You know, that's how I roll. I'm old school. So I travel with one of these.
Brian, that's a cordless phone.
Right. No cord.
From your home.
That's right.
How's that working out for you?
To be honest, the range is somewhat limited. But only when I travel.
Find all the flight info you need for the big game or the big meeting at aa.com/mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Hey, Brian, it's Dad. I heard you won Patriot season tickets for life. Maybe we could grab a game together.
Who's this again?
It's Dad.
What kind of joke is this? You're not my dad.
No, I'm pretty sure I'm your dad.
Yeah, third one today. Okay. Dad, tell me, when's my birthday?
Oh, come on, Bri. You won Patriot season tickets for life. And you want to talk about your birthday?
I'm hanging up.
Don't hang up on your father.
Oh, yeah. They'll be coming out of the woodwork once they find out you won season tickets for life on the New England Patriots instant game. You could also win $1 million instantly, plus a boatload of other great prizes.
I could do one of those quick adoptions. We could go to the game together and talk about the old days.
We don't have old days.
Good point.
Bye, Daddy.
Pick up the new Patriots instant game from the Mass State Lottery, masslottery.com.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa at Beauchamp. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Rock the Plaza every Saturday and Sunday, to the Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday, to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
PFW in progress. Thank God for Doc, man. I was about to.
I got to
over.
Admit, he did a fine job.
He did.
Seriously,
I had low expectations
with his
team and big.
It gets to the point if I haven't eaten around 1 o'clock,
you got cranky.
I start to get dizzy. You know, so
doesn't look like that happens too often.
And I got to read these emails, so I'm using up oxygen. The air down here isn't that good to begin with.
He's
so
Nick Asaski.
You know, I could just keel over at some point.
Well, yes, we all agree with that, but not fainting.
By the way,
we think the big one
in iTunes, Apple iTunes, this podcast is like up there in the rankings.
And I'm up where?
I'm not talking about just with other sports team in all sports podcasts. You
up
know,
where?
So we're competing with the
like
ESPN,
how much? Like how high?
In the top 100?
Really?
Of thousands?
No, I know. And some of them are huge.
Yeah, I mean, ESPN like, has like 10 of them, you know.
Monkey Ferrero wanted to compare us to Adam Carolla.
Right.
He did his after he got kicked off the air as the number one morning show in Los Angeles. He was the number one radio show, but they just decided to go in a different direction.
So he had like a million
podcast.
Fan base.
So he already had this massive fan base in the largest media market in the world. We're just four hacks trying to put together crap on the internet.
Right. So
while eating a pulled pork sandwich.
Change that. Five hacks. Just got a look from the new guy.
Who's making a nice little sandwich for himself.
Who
there.
Said the new guy could eat?
Good. He's gotta feed the guy.
He's going to get dizzy and pass out.
Right.
So, will it affect his producing? I doubt it.
Oh, wow. Kevin, was it this
didn't
tough
take
at
long.
98.5? Do they make fun of you like that? 98? No, they don't.
No?
Not.
Do you consider this hazing? Are you feeling hazed by Andy?
You believe me, you won't stop after you're new. Phil.
Eric's been here 5 years. Still ripping him.
Love the show, says Phil. I listen to PFW Progress all the time. I have a non-show-related question I thought you might be able to help me with. We live in Utah and are coming to Foxborough for the Colts game November 21st. NFL Extra Points has an experience that you can redeem points for that is a behind-the-scenes tour of Gillette Stadium. He wants to know if you can schedule that. I will forward that email to the people who run that program for you, and someone will get back to you on that. So it did say for off the air, but I read it anyway.
So what?
Just to show what kind of customer service we have here.
Aside from Carol.
Jason writes in, these guys are quiet because they're eating like they've never eaten before.
Well, you just broke your record for belching after eating. Like, you just started eating and already you can't
and
speak.
You
because
cleaned up
I
the plate pretty
fast.
Quickly.
No, I tell you, you know, we're shoveling in food during a break. That's why. It's not good for us. It really is to have to eat this way. But this is what we do for the fans. You know? Jason,
I have good news for you, Fred, though. I don't know if you saw this morning. They made the recommendation that for CPR now, you don't have to do the breaths. So when you have the big one, thanks to swallowing that chicken breast whole, we will actually try the chest pumps and we'll try to resuscitate you. Because in the past, we might have not wanted to put our lips.
You don't have to do the breaths at all?
That's their new thing. In part because they feel like studies have shown that people don't take action because they don't want to give mouth to mouth.
Well, I am CPR certified. I got my certificate and I get it renewed regularly. It's gone down, you know, the number of breaths that you had to do.
They change it every year.
It went from like, you know, six. Now, the last time I did it was 2 to 30, you know, 30 chest pumps to 2 breaths. So now. Anyway, let's see. On the phone right now at 508-543-7482 is Brad in Maryland. Hey, Brad, how you doing?
Hey, guys. Congratulations on day one. Keep up the great work.
Yep. We were so far so good.
Only halfway through day one, even. We got another practice later.
Yeah. Hey, nice update on Price and the defense. What about the offensive tight ends that we've got dealing with this year?
Nothing. A lot of action from them in the first practice.
Although Aaron Hernandez did a nice job blocking against somebody. Who was it?
Jermaine Cunningham.
Yeah, he stonewalled his former teammate, which is surprising for a wide receiver.
Yeah, it was notable only because his reputation is more of a wide receiver and not much of a blocker. He did a nice job. First time I got really a chance to see him line up with the pads on, one-on-one against someone, he did a nice job.
The other time
of that is it was Jermaine Cunningham getting stonewalled by a wide receiver.
We also saw Rob Gronkowski as one of the two-man wedge in the kickoff return sequence, so he got some action there as
well. They were both part of that three-man wall with Dan Conley. It was Hernandez, Gronkowski with Conley in the middle at, what do they call it, the diamond or something they used to call it in there? So, yeah, but not a lot of passes thrown their way that I saw, at least. So maybe we'll see that later down. They did some running game work today.
Yeah.
It was definitely the power goal line.
It was
running.
A running thing, and even the passing they did was out of tight sets.
Right.
And I think they were looking to get the ball down the field.
Right.
Okay. The other thing real quick is the I can never remember his name, the guy that's the two-way player.
Belichick? Thomas Williams.
Thomas Williams, thank you.
My new favorite player.
Yes. Did they run any fullback sets
yep.
with him, or is it still offensive lineman as
nope.
the fullback?
He was at fullback on the goal line when it was getting blown up.
When it was getting blown up.
I don't necessarily fault him. Pretty much all the offensive plays on the goal line got blown up. The defense dominated the goal line
segment.
Yeah,
defense had a good morning.
But there was one play in particular that I watched. It got blown up. He was the fullback. I won't necessarily hold that against him. I'm still intrigued by him. Three-way player.
And this is going to be, let's see, I got to rephrase this because we're going to use the word penetration. I'm getting better with you guys.
Eric?
Any outside threat against Vollmer or Light? Let's put it that way.
Pass rushing, you mean?
Yes.
Didn't really see much of that.
Brady,
a lot of that.
Brady
again, there wasn't
drop back passing either, so that's...
You know, there weren't a ton of opportunities. It was... Didn't seem that's how the practice was scripted.
Okay, and I'm assuming everybody has no clue why Burgess didn't show.
The only rumors being circulated on the internet are consideration of retirement as a possibility. I don't know that to be true or that's any more than just a rumor on the internet.
Usually it's an offensive lineman that...
And it would just be weird. He waited so long to sign. If he was going to retire, just retire. Unless they just talked him into sign, keep thinking about it. I mean, I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah, no, yeah. A lot of times they tell the guy, wait till the time comes and make your decision then, because you might change your mind. And,
maybe he's protesting Crable being let go.
I doubt it.
All right, guys.
Okay.
Well,
All right.
All right, Brad, calling
Take
in
care.
From Maryland, 508-543-7482, webradio at patriots.com is the email address. Jason writes in, who has gotten the most reps at left guard so far, and would you consider trading Mankins to the Jets, considering their need at guard, since Faneca left for Vernon Golston and a second or third round pick?
Sure.
No way.
Why not?
I would not give the Jets Logan Mankins. Pretty much solves their one question mark on offense. No way.
Right.
No way would I trade him to the Jets. Not unless they were going to blow me away with, two first-round picks and, you know, a good player or something. I mean, for a second-round pick, a third. What is a second and a third?
Or a third.
Or a third.
So a second-round pick and Vernon Golston, who's done absolutely nothing as a Jet. In 2 years, another one that I have to take my medicine on. I completely missed.
Well, we all did.
I thought he'd be a very good player.
Yeah, Andy says you blew that one.
But you notice what I do, Eric? I know very well that we were all lockstep on him.
And so does everybody else.
But I don't have to throw everybody else under the bus. I'm talking about him. I'll take responsibility. I'm a big boy.
See, Paul, that's one of the reasons why I think something will get done. Because...
And I think it's one of the reasons why people hate Andy.
Yeah.
Oh. One of several.
What are you two talking? You're not on the same conversation.
We're not even talking about the same thing.
I know.
Fred. You wouldn't trade him for a two.
No, I wouldn't. And
I would trade him to Team X for a second-round pick.
Fred would not trade him to the Raiders.
I wouldn't trade him to the Jets because I think it really fills out one of their huge needs.
But that's one of the reasons why I think something will get done, because the Patriots are going to realize, you know what, we're not willing to take a two. No one's going to give us a one, you know, so we might as well do something.
Why would they not be willing to take a two?
I just think that...
He was the last pick of the first round, right?
Yeah, but he's established now as a Pro Bowl guard.
You're essentially saying they're more willing to hand him $50 million than willing to take a two instead of a one.
I am that they're more willing to budge. Absolutely.
Well, you're moving towards $50 million because everybody said it was $45 million and six and a half.
I don't know what the gap is or whatever. But I think that the Patriots would be willing to budge, and I think at the end of the day, so will
I just don't know why you wouldn't trade a guy for a second-round pick.
I think, he's established himself as one of the top five guards in the league.
I mean...
And, I'm going to trade him now for something I can't use this year.
To me, it still gets back to the position that he plays. I mean, I agree with everything you're saying about Mankins. I think he's a terrific player. I think he's one of the best players in the league at his spot. I just don't think that there are a lot of guards that generally warrant first-rounders. I don't think there's a lot of guards that, over the last 10 years, have there even been 10 guards taken in the first round?
I have a feeling.
A little bit more of late.
See, I have a feeling that both sides, it's a lot closer than it sounds. Right now, it's a matter of principle. I think one side is waiting for the other side to just reach out. And I think once that happens, I don't think it's going to take much to get the deal done.
But I don't know where your confidence in that is coming from.
Unless you have information that is contrary to what is being reported.
It's just the feeling I have.
Everybody else seems to be indicating that Mankins wants what he wants, and he's a quote-unquote a man of his principle and a man of his word, and that's what he's sticking by.
Yeah, but Mankins is yet to tell me.
He's never going to tell you anything.
In any of the quotes that he said, what exactly the Patriots lied about?
Yeah, well, Fred,
but it doesn't matter that he doesn't tell you that.
Well, I'm in the quotes that he's had out there. What public statement has
he made?
But
he's not going to.
But
he said what he had to say to the Patriots.
I know, but don't you?
I think he's done with this.
I was going to say, I think he's said what he has to say on the situation. I think he's done.
My concern would lie.
The next time he talks is when he signs with whatever team he
ends
up
with.
And
I hope you're right for a lot of reasons, not the least of which is he's one of my absolute favorite guys in that locker room. I hope you end up being right and he ends up reaching out and they are closer than we think. I don't see it, though.
I think it would be funny as hell to see the smirk on his face. He's a smirk guy anyway. He has these coy smirks anyway. If he resigns, and it was just business, it would be priceless.
Like he would have that, like when Ty Law said, I said, "What's up, Bill?" He was dead serious when he said that. Logan Mankins would say something to that ilk,
right?
With that stupid little grin on his face, when the bottom teeth come out when he starts that smile and smirk.
Yeah. It was the grin that he gave Andy when Andy ran over to talk to him and he dropped his pants.
And Andy turned around. Andy turned around, did a 180 and ran back the other way.
Classic.
But the bigger issue is how will I write my game stories if James Sanders and Logan Mankins aren't here? Because that's who I quote.
You'll be all done.
You're gonna
As far as Derek Burgess, I don't know if this advances the story at all, but Len Pascarelli is writing. This is from Mark in Nova Scotia.
I know he's still alive.
9-year veteran pass rusher Derek Burgess, who did not report Thursday for the start of the New England Patriots training camp, is considering retirement from the NFL, sources confirmed to ESPN.com.
Okay. All right.
So.
I think that I agree with Andy. I think that's very odd that he signed late in the process. So it was like June, wasn't it? Wasn't it like June? Late May, anyway. I think that's your second
thing. I think his rationale was pretty accurate.
Plausible. Certainly plausible. Like maybe he didn't really want to come back.
He didn't want to do it. His heart wasn't in it. And they said, just sign it. If you change your mind, you're here. You're under contract. If not.
I tried to ask about that, to one of our little sort of behind-the-scenes kind of sources, and I couldn't get the person's attention. When the media was all there, I didn't want to make a big spectacle out of it in front of people, but that's an interesting, interesting to watch this position,
which makes it so thin to begin with. It makes the cutting of Crable even more interesting because if they had any inkling at all
that's a good point,
that Burgess wasn't going to be here and you needed to cut somebody to get McCourty in, why would you target that particular position?
Which is what I said. Literally, they just closed the door.
Exactly.
Did we talk about Crable at all?
Yeah. The show does take place even when you're not here. We're capable.
But I just assume that you talk about the normal stuff, that you find interesting, which is nothing.
If they don't sign like Greg Ellis, and I'm not saying he's an answer, but if they don't sign somebody with veteran experience, I'm going to describe outside linebacker like I described punting in the spring. I don't think they have the bodies on hand to field outside linebackers at an NFL level on a regular basis. Because somebody's going to get hurt. It's a tough position.
Someone's going to get.
No, that's true.
I thought you meant they weren't good enough.
No. No, but it's a tough position with everything you're asked.
Andy Hart, mad.
No, but you know what I'm saying?
Oversized, yeah. Undersized right. For different roles. Someone's going to get hurt. I mean, you're going to have. You're not going to be able to compete at an NFL level unless Cunningham is a superstar. He needs to win Rookie of the Year. I'm saying it. He needs to win Rookie of the Year. Bandicane needs to win MVP if they're going to have a good defense.
Or they switch to a 4-3. You know, and.
Well, I still you think still need outside linebackers, though.
Yeah.
Because you, regardless.
Well, you could have Guyton play sort of an outside guy.
That's okay. This guy. Exactly.
No, yeah. Yeah, no,
I agree
right.
with Fred.
You're right. Fred, you're right. You sold me. You have three NFL
McKenzie.
Players.
Maybe McKenzie.
But you have three NFL players that you know of. There's no question.
Right.
Guyton, Mayo, Bantikane. You're right.
Yeah.
You could live with a 4-3. Now, again, you have an injury.
Right.
Bantikane might be an end.
You have no depth.
Right.
You know, yeah, and I don't know if Bantikane
sure
could be a 4-3 outside.
A true 4-3 outside linebacker.
No, it's a different. It's a
he's an end.
He'd be a weak side.
It's a different style.
Neither one of those guys is a 4-3 strong side linebacker.
It's definitely
either.
An issue. It's definitely an issue.
Do you think,
issue.
Andy?
The lack of anything at linebacker it could be the fatal flaw of this team.
Strippers wants to know, if you guys took an IQ test, how would you guys rank versus
11.
Each other?
I'd be the smartest.
We never did IQ. We did the Wonderlic. Andy was the highest, but he did go to Tufts.
That's true.
Right.
I went to my safety school, Boston
Some other
University.
Reporters went to Tufts, too, that were here today and had the same sneakers.
Yeah, same sneakers as Andy.
That's a little weird.
We were all pretty much the same on the Wonderlic, right? Andy was the best.
I forget, yeah.
Fred, and you and I think we were right around the same. Yeah. But we were all within like 2 or 3 points.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you guys get like five extra points because you're old.
We get one extra point.
So...
It's not going to bite.
IQ test. I've couldn't never even taken an IQ test. What are they?
Of course like? You have.
No, I haven't.
You never took an IQ test in school?
Never. SATs.
You take an IQ
different
test
letters.
And you're like...
No, I never
like
did.
Like second grade,
fourth grade,
third grade.
Yeah.
I never did.
See, I don't know if I did either.
I went to Catholic school. They didn't do that kind of stuff.
No, instead...
they were busy diddling you.
Instead they stuck rules on your
standardized,
butt.
Standardized testing. They didn't do...
You're a Cox subscriber.
Did you take an IQ test?
Well done.
Wow.
Did you take
if you don't tell your parents when
yeah,
they touch
no
your
wee-wee, you're
actually better at that
no,
than
couldn't even
than
give you a guess.
He's actually a professional.
Huh?
He's the first professional we've had.
No, I'm sure I knew at the time.
But he knows
I don't
that
know
they're there, that they exist.
Did you take an IQ test, Andy?
I don't think so or know of it necessarily.
I don't. Eric, of course, you were.
I know my brothers.
You're in the Mensa?
No, we had them in, like Paul said, like early elementary school.
See,
you take
them. I'm not the only one. Maybe
Eric
we
took them in the rectum.
Come on.
But I don't remember.
No,
I don't remember.
Yeah. There is
you
a.
You would if it was good.
I could tell you that
I'm
my brother.
Sure they
yeah,
tell
when
you.
When
do
I'm,
they?
When
you
I'm
have
six
a
years old.
You'd have a tattoo of it.
They
on
tell
your
parents,
that
they
tell,
they give
I think
it to your
you're
parents.
Right. I think they tell your parents, and I'm pretty sure my parents never told us what we got.
That's what I said. They hit it for
but
me.
I did,
to crush them in the second grade.
But I did know that that my brother was higher than me, and I was higher than my sister.
Richie? It just became an SAT problem. Paul is higher than Rich, and Rich is higher than so is Paul.
Huh?
How
come we've never met your sister?
I don't know.
Is she around?
Of course.
How come she doesn't write for the paper?
This is
during the post-draft issue.
Does she live in the area?
She lives in Massachusetts, yes.
Okay.
Northern Mass.
Okay. What does she look like?
I'm telling you, this is going down a bad road.
I don't know.
I'm too afraid to press the drop right here.
You
should be.
But no, we hear so much about Paul's brother.
Well, she's not.
And his parents.
Hear about his sister.
Ginger, Al.
Well, my mother and father are here at the stadium from time to time. My father a lot. My mother, once in a while. My sister has never really been here for anything.
Yeah.
She's not a huge
but
sports fan.
But how come we
fan.
Never see her? We've been to parties at your house.
You saw her at my wedding.
We did?
We did?
She was in my wedding.
I don't remember her. Yeah. I just remember the
Well,
they,
Fred
the Zolos
didn't because he was
whatever.
Watching the playoffs.
I just remember the guys slapping their asses on the dance floor.
That was the Yubbas.
Yubbas.
I get that edited out of the video.
Let's see. Paul's boot.
Camp and we're
Paul's
talking
boot is chiming in.
Uh-oh.
Tubby is back from vacation and he still won't leave me alone. Please, someone save me. I feel so violated. Him speaking of the hazing thing that he disagrees with made me laugh because there is a lot of hazing that he does with me. And just when I was starting to like Eric, he starts with the Lady Gaga talk. Stop being, you know what, Eric.
We were talking about halftime Super Bowl.
Back
stuff.
To the mantle I go until Tubby
She'd
comes back. Who knows where he's taking me tonight.
No chance. No chance.
Oh, yeah, no chance. I agree, but I think she'd be good. I'm on the record saying it's going to be country this year, right? Have they announced it?
No, I don't think they
right
have.
Yet?
I don't think they
what
have
What did
yet.
I say? I said...
George Strait?
George Strait and the other guy. Maybe
Alan
like
Jackson?
I'm not a big Lady Gaga
together.
Fan.
Oh, her music is
like,
catchy.
I like pop music. Oh, yeah. As you know, I like that kind of stuff. I think her songs have gotten progressively worse.
Well, they always do. I think they all have. That's the case.
Same thing with Rihanna.
Yeah, but I think that's how it works.
Although Rihanna would be in that category of a new pop artist right. who has enough hits that she could fill a halftime.
Sure.
You know?
I just don't like her.
No, but I'm saying...
But Lady Gaga...
The fan that wrote in the other day was asking, was saying...
She'd get out there and do something completely outrageous.
That's right. I'd love
to
see.
For the sake of doing it.
I don't find
her
attractive.
She's not going to look at it at all.
No.
Nothing will ever come close to that U2 halftime.
Hey, who's she married to? Is she married to someone
Lady Gaga?
Yeah.
Not that I know of.
Hey, Junior.
Yes. You don't even know my name,
Junior.
Dude.
Junior. Kevin.
Hey, yeah.
I walked by
Junior.
You.
I'll be honest, I didn't.
I walked by you down the tunnel, and you looked at me like you had no idea who I was.
I said, hello.
He does that. He does. He's a big timer. He tends
that
to
is
do that.
If you can't promote his career or give him another outlet to spew his
that
crap,
is
he doesn't talk to you.
Isn't that what I'm doing, though,
that's
right now?
Total,
not
that's
really.
The total opposite. That is unbelievably false. All the things you guys made fun of me about today, none of them bothered me but that, because that's completely wrong.
I think he's right.
What can I do
That's
for you, Paul?
That's why people hate you. Lady Gaga.
A lot
Lady
of
Gaga. She married and
I'll check,
to
I'll
who?
Check. Okay, I'll check it out.
To who or to whom?
To the who?
By the way, Andy, you're right. There's whom, reports right? here that say the Super Bowl halftime show is leaning toward country, and that there's a report that Kenny Chesney might be the leading candidate.
That'd be great.
Nikovich is quoted. Stripper sends us this, that he said after practice, this is the best opportunity of my life.
He actually said that to me.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yes. I'm sure he said it before that to someone else, but yeah, Eric and I, Eric was waiting to, you know, bond with his little bachelor party buddy. That was a nice moment.
He's a good guy,
Nico. That was a nice moment.
Not a lot of players.
I'm sure he remembered you.
Not many players you would have that moment with, though. That kind of
he's a nice
personal
guy.
Off the field.
No, that was really the first time I talked to him for any, you know, significant time.
I don't know if you guys have noticed. We
always
impressed. Create bonds with middling, this is the greatest opportunity of my life
well,
players.
Well, those are the guys that
they're
talk.
Nice guys.
Yeah.
They're like the hockey players
right.
of the mix.
Right. They haven't
but
been corrupted yet.
The best
right.
part, though, Fred, is when you get those guys before they become anything, and then they stay the same when they actually become something. And we were talking about one in the tent today, Mike Wright.
Yeah.
It's true.
Andy and I have been talking to him the same way, you know, when he came in. You know, I remember doing the Pulse story when he made this. Remember when he made the roster? He surprised everybody.
Yep.
He's the same guy. And now he starts. Sometimes,
right.
anyway.
Yeah.
Part-time. Part-time starter.
Sometimes. Anyway,
sometimes
part-time.
When you call him a part-time, would you refer to him as a part-time starter?
Yeah. I mean, he was with the ones today. Oh, I can't say. He was with a group
that
included
he was rotating.
Will Fork and Ty Warren today.
Yeah.
And Guyton and Mayo.
And Guyton and Mayo.
And Ninkovich. And Ninkovich.
Well, the
and
Ninkovich
Butler
one doesn't
Bottom,
help my
and
point,
Merriweather
really.
And Chung.
Right.
Owen and Belfast, how the hell could they have signed Burgess with him considering retirement, yet not pay or show great interest in Jason Taylor? Belichick confuses me sometimes, and Bill I trust, though.
So, confuses me. I still trust him, though.
I mean, they may have signed...
They may have made him an offer and he didn't want it.
Yeah. You don't hear about every offer every team makes.
And there was speculation that they had initial interest in Taylor, and then it just went down the road, and it
Because remember,
didn't work.
Robert Kraft did say, he was on the record as saying... If Jason Taylor wants to play here, we'll make it happen.
Right, right. They wanted him.
Yeah, there was talk.
Finally got it open.
The good news is we should reference one of the PFW favorites to solve all the problems at outside linebacker fell down two flights of stairs in Sergio Kindle. So we wouldn't necessarily hit the jackpot had we drafted him either.
Yeah, but that's not the Vernon Golston category.
Yeah, but now
no, it's the Dez Bryant category.
Now there's word out there that he has narcolepsy.
Now there's word out there that he's a turd.
Mac Williams?
Just like I didn't like it when he said, well, I was going to swerve, and then there was a sidewalk, and there was a building, and I couldn't swerve, so I swerved off
if
the road.
If the sidewalk were a normal size, I would have been fine.
There's too much smoke there. He is not the right kind of guy to build around.
I think I'm just very naive. I never thought I was, but I don't automatically just assume that when I hear these things.
That he's a bad guy? Or
that he fell
has
down
narcolepsy.
Two flights of stairs so that he's a bad guy, and not a guy to build around.
Yeah.
No, but
does that mean was he stoned? I mean,
no, but it lends credence to the initial reaction.
Do I think
that
there
were
substances involved? Yes, I do.
See,
when
I,
he was at a home visiting
it
a home
only
in
lends
Austin.
Credence to that theory if Andy's
he's
right
at a party.
If Andy's right and he's high on cocaine and falling down flights of stairs, drunk out of his mind.
You're telling me that
then Andy's right.
You're telling me though, when you heard the report that he fell down not one but two flights of stairs, that there wasn't something else involved other than he woke up in the middle of the night and it was dark in a house that he wasn't familiar with.
I had no idea. Was it like a townhouse? It just has like the stairs that you kind of just go down two stories. I don't know. I have no idea. But I guess that's what I'm saying. I must be very naive because I tend to just listen to the stories and kind of take them.
Again, if we had had positive
Des Bryant
impression,
I don't buy for a second that he didn't know.
Now
he had to, I didn't buy that.
For example, if this were Ndamukong Suh, who we all got a great impression of, and we heard that he fell down a flight of stairs or two flights of stairs, the first thought in our mind wouldn't be, "Oh, there's got to be some kind," because we got a good impression from him at the combine.
The fact that we didn't get a good impression from him
from Kindle just sort of makes us think even more when something like this happens, there's got to be something else involved here.
His talking at the combine was closer to turddom. Florio likes to call them turds. A.J. Nicholson, these guys that scrambling to cover up certain things, whereas other guys, Tebow, Sue, McCoy, they just seemed like they were comfortable. Brandon Spikes. You just said, wow, this guy's just normal. He's telling it like it is. It might not be true, but they're better at it or whatever. Whereas Kindle came off as suspicious. He didn't pass the sniff test when you're talking to him.
Then
you get these other factors that pop up and you're like,
These are two different things to me. I would think, to answer Eric's original question, if I heard the story about Sue and I heard the story about anybody else, I would think the same thing. I wouldn't necessarily change my
opinion. But if you went to the combine, you might not.
But
you can't answer that because you've never been to the combine.
But I heard all the stories that you guys talked about, and I read the stuff.
No, but
I
mean, it's not the same as getting. We all get vibes the second we meet people. New players, Roosevelt Colvin. He seemed like a jerk. He wasn't a jerk. You get vibes instantly upon meeting people. You can't. The first impression, it's true. It's always true.
Yep. All right.
Especially at a place like that where they're supposed to be at their best behavior because it's an audition.
And if you're suspicious then what when their real side comes out, what are you going to see?
Derek says, I just wanted to give a quick shout out to Kevin. Welcome. But I was just curious, did you guys say you'll be doing another podcast after practice on training camp days? Yes.
Yes.
So every day after camp, these guys will be doing a podcast.
After the last practice of the day.
5:30-ish, we'll be doing it.
Yeah.
So it'll probably be posted around 6:30.
Posted
or so.
6:30 2 weeks later.
On the mobile site,
that's not a shot at you.
Goes
that's a shot above you.
Yeah, that's somebody else.
Not above you.
To send an email.
Certainly not above you.
I got good news for you, Paul, though. Gaga is not married.
Okay.
She's still a bachelorette.
No, I had someone tell me that she was married to some member of, Parliament, British Parliament, and I was like, I don't think that's true.
That would be an odd pairing.
Yeah, well...
The most recent headline I pulled is Lady Gaga's boyfriend is begging her to get married, but she is unsure she wants to commit. So there you have the skinny.
Who's the boyfriend?
His name is Matthew Williams. I've never heard of him.
What does he do?
Is he a member of Parliament?
Third baseman, San Francisco Giants?
Big Ben, Parliament?
What is PFW's schedule over the next few days? Well, this show is every Tuesday and Thursday. Until
well said, Eric.
Oh, does he mean PFW in progress?
I don't know. I'm gonna give him it all. Tuesday and Thursday in the off season until the first week of September. Then we go Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday with this show. As far as the newspaper goes, we're weekly right now. So every Tuesday morning, there's a new issue on the newsstand of Patriots Football Weekly. And then as far as our TV show, that will start the first week of September as well. And
just pulled a Bill Belichick and threw up in his mouth on
Eric
microphone.
Eric is like snorting and...
Yeah, usually only Andy does that.
Hawking loogies over there.
I don't hawk loogies.
Sorry.
No, I turned my mic off.
He's hawking loogies. Bar loogies over there. He's hawking it.
Shut up, fat mouth.
All right.
No, talk about the most hated teams in sports, Fred.
Yeah.
What's that now?
Did you bring that up?
Patriots, the top five of that.
No, number six.
Number six. The 07 team.
Yeah,
the
Colts sucked. The 07 team was the one.
But they held everything from all the previous teams against them, too.
Well, basically, the argument that was made was they sort of cast themselves as this holier-than-thou outfit, taking offense to every, perceived or real or not lack of respect and running with it. And they talked about Freddie Mitchell and Marty Schottenheimer's comment after they were banged up and all of this. And then they talked about 07, and they came out and... Rodney Harrison was suspended for substance abuse, and we all know the unfortunate incident that happened with the suspension and the fine and all that stuff. We don't talk about that. And then Belichick responded by running up BCS, like,
right,
blowouts and whatnot. That was the explanation.
Why don't you call me sometime when you have no class?
And Derek also says, P.S., I don't think carrying shoulder pads is hazing. I just wanted to spark a debate. So we've already debated that. Not really debated. Paul just doesn't think it's hazing. Or he does think it's hazing. And we don't.
What's up, Paul Perillo?
Sam from Brighton, I know you guys can't talk about who's playing with the ones and who's with the twos, but how surprised would you guys be if Patrick Chung and Rob Ninkovich started against the Bengals?
Not very.
Both of them.
Well, I think Patrick Chung, barring injury, is a lock.
Right.
Really?
Yeah.
And the other guy, I mean,
I think he clearly is the guy.
When did he
right
win
now
that job, is what I want to know.
In between games, somehow.
In the offseason. Absolutely. You're right, because he wasn't,
yeah, right,
he wasn't really much, a much bigger part of the defense at the end of last
right
year
we can't say,
than
oh,
he was
really
from the beginning.
Coming on at the end.
No, like Merriweather in 07
yeah
had a role by the end of the season.
Right.
Chung really didn't.
Right.
So it's the offseason.
It's the offseason. Ever since Bill has said he wanted 53 James Sanders, he's done his best to run the one out of town.
All right, listen, you really got to take this. It's not personal. It's just business, Andy. You got to step
back. It feels
a
little personal.
You got to step back.
And I think it feels a little personal to the guy wearing number 36 as well.
When are you going to write that expose? On a
never
Saturday in camp, maybe.
And then not show up the next day.
As a web update. That reeks of Tyrone Poole.
Stripper says that real IQ tests have oral questions and you use your hands.
Stripper send you that? He's an a-
Wait, hey, when does John Rook debut? Speaking of that,
first week of September, right?
He's got that look mastered, the hands in the
I'm
air
just the producer. I'm not the executive. I'm not the program director.
Fred's the program director.
There you go,
he's
Fred.
Right here.
Fred, when's Rook coming on?
First week of September.
When does Shop Talk return?
All that stuff, all the full schedule.
That's really returning?
Starts so, the week before
so
the first.
So is Lindsay
with Three Wise
going to have to do that?
What's that?
Lindsay with Three Wise is going to do
I don't know if they're
talk
doing Shop Talk again.
You're the program director.
We're asking you.
I'm going to be
you
living in
the
studio, though.
No, it's up to the pro shop guys. If they don't want to do it, I'm not going to force
pro shop
them because
boys
then that would be hazing.
Okay.
But you have no problem. But you have no problem with it.
Their boss telling them what to do.
It's a joke, idiot.
I know, you idiot. We've reached the idiot part.
Steve writes in, Fred's on a roll reading email, so I thought I would add something. I'm optimistic, but I think Belichick needs to make some moves. There are still big questions. Time to make a move for Merriman. We had another email wondering if we should get Merriman as well.
Hey, as a total,
can we get Merriman as just a one-year thing?
I don't know if
you
can
the money's
or
right
not. I don't know if he can do that or not. I don't know if he's willing to do that.
Because I would take a chance on that.
I
I'm not
too
giving him a big contract.
I think he would
oh,
take
you
God
should know I got a little wiener.
I think he would do
I
it
would
if
definitely,
the money was right.
I would definitely make a trade for him if
just
I could
to try it
for a modest price and if I could do a one-year deal.
Add a body.
Why don't we try to get Vincent Jackson in him?
Even if I had
for
to
Mankins
over
and
even if I had to overpay Floyd him a little bit for 1 year, I would do that.
Would you give up one of the first rounders next year and Mankins
no
for both of those guys?
For no for Floyd and Merriman?
And Merriman.
Or Jackson and Merriman.
Excuse me, Jackson.
What do we want to give up now? First and
Jackson, Merriman for Mankins and a first
yes
next year.
I would do that.
I would.
Christian writes that
you don't
I've
like Jackson? I like Jackson.
I
wouldn't give I wouldn't give Merriman any money. I would give Jackson money.
Oh, yeah, you'd have to.
Christian
no
says, I've been
him
attempting to subscribe to PFW, but every time I try your internet site, it says fails.
Yeah.
And asks
yeah
me to try again later.
That.
If someone could fix that, I could finally subscribe. That would be great. Well, I'm going to forward your email to
I just want some fresh podcasts
manager
out there.
It'll be ignored for the next 4 weeks, and then she'll follow up with you later.
I was so wrong.
So we'll get that fixed.
Why do you keep
you
saying you're going to send an email? I don't know. I don't get the reference.
I want some fresh stuff up on the website.
Wow.
Your fresh microphone podcast is on, just so you guys want to know back there.
All right. Well, we're coming to the end of this show.
It was not a good one.
A screeching halt.
A strange, strange, bad opening to training camp for us.
Yeah, I think we're out of rhythm today because you guys were posting. And
well, I haven't posted yet because it froze, and now it's over.
All right, but we have another practice today at 3:30, so these guys will be doing a podcast after that. We'll post that up there.
Are we done already?
Yeah, we are.
Very unfortunate.
And
it's like you missed a third of the show.
You know, Andy, who's going to be blogging after the practice?
Me.
after, not this one, the afternoon
both.
One.
Both. It's my blog, so okay. I'll be blogging.
So we'll have all the updates on Patriots.com after the second practice, see what they do. Do you think they'll come out in full pads?
Yes.
Yes.
You do?
Yep. Yes.
Okay. And we'll give you all that update there. Full practices all the way through the weekend. So stay tuned to Patriots.com. As far as us, we'll see you next Tuesday.
That'll do it. Another PFW in progress. We'll be back next week.
Yeah. Yeah, God, yeah.
Patriots.com Radio.